want to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamp envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C. 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Hey.
Now, your health is either, I don't know exactly how to read your health, Mike. Mike, as you know, went to the doctor today.
Yes.
And, I apologize, incidentally, for eating at the beginning of the show.
That's okay.
I'm having some peanuts, and I'm sorry.
He's already had whatever it is he came in with.
Wings.
And then
hot wings.
Peanuts, and then some donuts.
Yeah.
Hot wings from Tim's River Shore Restaurant. There's my first plug of the season.
There you go.
Doesn't just have to be my joint, everyone.
And then the peanuts
were courtesy of Ardinger's, a fantastic peanut eatery.
And what about the donuts?
The donuts were from the House of Colette. And
so you're eating like crazy. So
I'm extraordinarily hungry today.
So your results of your heart test must have been good.
Incomplete. The test was unfortunately cut short.
Huh.
Tragically?
Yeah, tragically. There was a bit of an emergency.
Regretfully. All right, well, I guess that's...
Someone else's, not yours.
Mine.
That's what
your
I'm
emergency.
Yes.
I know there's something I've not heard yet.
Mm-hmm. You had an emergency.
I bet we'll have to start the show to hear that.
Concerned.
But before we do...
I'm feeling a little goofy, too.
Before we do...
Hi to everybody out in Prince William County.
Hey, Lala.
Lala.
Why don't you step up to the microphone? And let's see.
Are we going to get the reveal right now?
Hey, what the heck? It's the pre-show.
Now, Rob will pull back the curtain when you're ready. Just like on the Swan.
What are you doing?
I have something for Mike.
Oh, you have something for me? Oh, what do you get?
you're going to love
it. Your hair?
Yeah.
It's a bag of Rob's hair from his back.
It's only what they
you're not going to dump it in my lap, are you?
I just want you to see some of it.
Oh, this is the towel they use to catch the hair.
Yes. And...
Rob's on.
Look at that.
It. There you go.
Look at that back hair.
Look at that back hair.
My God.
Looks like dog bedding.
Man, oh, man.
Yeah. Looks like we're in the OBGYN office with Beatrice Arthur.
And it's all wrapped up in a towel, and on that white towel, you can really see the gray quality of it. Not gray, but just kind of an unhealthy, mousy brown.
We could give away that DNA if you'd like, Robbie.
Yeah, please do.
We could give away that hair to a lucky caller right now.
And people can take that hair and make another Rob.
Oh, B.A. and Joe, come on back in here, B.A. and Joe. They came in because they want to see it.
Sure.
We all want to see it.
Everybody wants to see.
We want to see.
Rob's new shiny back.
Yeah.
We're going to get a reveal. Looks like John Norman's in here.
What I will say in advance, I had no idea I was so freckled because it was hidden under all the hair.
Wow. Well, get ready for the sexiest man alive. He's taking it off.
Yeah.
Wow! Look at that.
Oh, wow. Smooth as a baby's
look
bottom.
At that. Does your wife dig it?
She doesn't care.
Hold on. Pull your shirt back up. Beth Ann, you're a woman.
Yeah.
And then, Joe, let's get both the male and female perspective. B.A., what do you think?
Kind of freckly and moly.
Yeah.
Moly. I prefer the hair.
That's the best description.
God put that hair there for a reason.
It's moly.
And
Joe prefers the hair.
Joe, what's your take? Your metrosexual take.
It's gorgy.
Gorgy!
Gorgy.
Fantastic. Don, would you like to give a descriptive term?
If you turn around, please. Pimply.
Yeah.
A little
pimply.
It's a little angry.
That's right, a reaction, I'm sure.
And Mike?
Senior citizen-like.
Octogenarian.
Senior citizen-like.
Buzz, you're getting a good look. What does that look like?
Yeah, I see baby smooth on the back and hairy bear stud on the front.
Exactly the look I was going for.
Yeah.
And see, they did go all the way up to here.
You have the vicious hairy arms.
Yeah.
But it looks... Rob, I think it looks great.
Yeah,
it looks good on you.
They did a great job at Sona.
I'm serious, they did.
Would you whores stop it?
They did a great job. Thanks.
Fabulous outfit.
Yes, but you know what? I'll tell you the best thing is being back here today.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like not being in the studio.
It feels right. Everything's right with the world, right? Yeah. Yesterday was just between you being there and doing what you do when you do those things,
mm-hmm.
and then you not being in back of him where he needs you.
Right.
You know, it was not. It was
no.
It
listen,
was an interesting day.
At least there was no delay on the microphone yesterday.
Right.
So, are you happy with the procedure?
Delighted.
Was it worth a ruined show?
Yes, it was. Just as long as it wasn't my show.
Go cash that check.
That's right.
La la.
Everybody, hello and
my
la la
God. La la. Rob's back is shaved. Waxed. Wow. Lasered. Lasered.
Yes.
Hello.
Oh.
Hello there, Mr. Shannon.
What shampoo is the biggest seller in the hip-hop community?
What's that, Mr. Shannon?
Cred and Shoulders.
Like cred, street cred?
Street cred.
Thank you, Mr. Shannon. Oh, that's a groaner.
What would you get if you crossed an internet service with Ron Jeremy?
What's that?
Girth Link. Thank you.
Hey now.
This is Detective Michael Scott Shannon.
Don. You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Right in here.
Hello.
Hi, Julia. All right, boys. Kill them. They're here. Kill them.
You can call Don and Mike. With one true enemy, himself, a man of faith, and a soul torn apart. Viewer discretion advised.
Perhaps you didn't even notice it, but that thing that happened yesterday just happened again. But look at that.
You covered it.
Moved right past.
Good, Mr. and Mrs.
I forgot to turn your microphone on.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. CSPC, and all the ships in the
Wow!
Wow. And now, the sweet sound of life is Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Yeah. You are too funny always. With jokes that nobody gets unless you're up in our office before the show.
But I'll tell you, if you're up in our office before the show, that was a smoking joke.
And hi, and thank you for listening, everybody. Don and Mike show. It's a new episode on this Thursday. Oh, 6:03:04.
Hi, Don and Mike. Buzz Burbank here.
Howdy, Buzz. Don and Mike show this June 3rd, 2004.
Yes.
Call us from anywhere in America at 877-365-3636. From Canada, call 800-636-1067. Washington, D.C., 202-432-1067. If you're listening on WJFK FM.
Wonderful.
We will get to the Joe Cicada tapes.
Good.
We've heard the first two chapters.
Funny.
We'll hear them on today's show, in the first hour of today's show.
Good.
We'll hear those. And forget what I have written down here that I want to mention. Mike, tell us what happened.
Yeah.
Tell us what happened. You went in for a quadruple bypass this morning.
No, I went in for a 3D heart scan, a magnetic resonance imaging heart scan.
An MRI heart scan.
I'm going to preface this by saying when they prep you for this particular test, it is very important that your heart is not beating too fast. That's what I was... It was explained that to me, and you're going to hear my sentences, which are all whacked out today. For some reason, the words just aren't coming out right.
Understood.
It might be fatigue from getting up earlier than I normally get up. It might be the whole thing that happened.
The trauma.
But what they tell you is you have to take what's
called... Might be the peanuts and the donuts.
Might be the donuts and the peanuts,
the
but I, you know what? That's fuel.
And the wings.
Okay? That's fuel for me.
Okay.
So they want you to take what's called a beta blocker the night before, and they want you to go 12 hours without caffeine. They don't want your heart, they want to slow your heart down. They don't want it to be beaten too fast because apparently they can't get the right kind of pictures if that happens. So you take another beta blocker, which slows your heart down even more. My theory is this beta blocker that I took last night before bed kept me up till like 2:30 in the morning.
Wow.
I felt wired. I don't know why. They didn't have an explanation.
I bet it was the biggest sexual organ in your body, your brain.
I'm not sure.
I bet it was all right up here, between the ears.
Very well could have been. Didn't have any caffeine. They didn't say anything about booze, so I had just a taste of wine with dinner last night and was in bed by 10 o'clock at night and made the mistake of watching the Red Sox on the West Coast. And I felt fine, went to sleep.
Yes.
With very little sleep, probably 4 or 5 hours. Got up and experienced what they want you to be calm. Well, what I didn't count on was like where I live now, 10 years ago, was the great unexplored territory, was the wild, wild west, was the covered wagons, was where there's nobody.
Welcome
and now,
to another edition of Mike Doesn't Understand Development.
And now, through some miracle, some absolute miracle, the place I chose to live, the area of this metropolis where
everybody
I chose to live,
has gone there.
Mm-hmm. Where I chose to live, everyone decided, hey, we're coming out there. We're all going to live.
Thanks for the
And
tip.
They S'd out all these houses, and that's it. And so all these people live there.
And incidentally, this is a phenomenon that is only happening where Mike lives.
Yeah, no, it's happening else. all over America, and I don't have to be happy about it. But I tell you, I don't experience morning rush hour. And I got up at 5 o'clock in the morning and left my house at about 5 of 6, thinking I have to be at this place. It's maybe 23 miles. I have to travel 23 miles. I'm giving myself what I think is an hour and a half. Should be plenty of time.
Yeah.
I get 5 minutes away from my front door. I have to double back because the traffic is so bad. I take an alternative route. I have three routes that I can take. They're all absolute. I've never seen. I was trying mathematically to figure out where these people are coming from, because even with all the development we have, it didn't make sense to me that this many cars could be in this particular area. And what's happening during all this is my ticker is starting to go pitter-patter, pitter-patter, pitter, and I just go nuts. Finally, I take a fourth route, and I go all the way out to Hellenbeck thinking, all right, well, I'm going to be late, but at least there's not going to be any traffic. And they still were there. I haven't left. I have not traveled roughly 5 miles in any direction. I'm just trying to figure out a way to get through what is essentially a parking lot out where I live.
Mike,
and it's just...
Can I just interrupt for a...
You think...
Yes, you can.
What might be a piece of advice in the future?
What?
When I'm in a traffic jam like that, let your fingers go to 106.7. because there's traffic information there that you can... really?
I hope. Count on. I want to say to everybody.
You know the traffic information on our station. 106.7.
But it was great today, though, because they knew. As a matter of fact, the traffic I heard today was everybody was talking about exactly where I was. Mm. It has now become the worst traffic area in the nation's capital area. It really is.
I call it my weather and traffic button. 106.7. I don't care about
traffic
all
and weather on the 3.
I don't care about all the disgusting talk.
No.
But it's my traffic and weather button. And when I need school closing information...
You come right here.
Or stool closing information...
Yes, yeah, I had a little of that, too.
Yeah, I bet you did.
But I called a nice lady. Unfortunately, they gave me at this... boy, I wish I remember the name of the place. Well, the heart place, where they check your heart out. They gave me the name... print it out.
Oh, 1-800, you're dying.
A lady's name to call. And after 7 o'clock, when I realized that after being an hour in traffic that I wasn't going to get there within the hour even, I called her and she said, get here when you get here. Don't stress out.
Wow.
We can't have your heart being all stressed out.
But by then...
They took my blood pressure when I walked into this joint, and it was through the roof. Because and my heart rate was also elevated because I was just so... even though they say, hey, get here when you get here, you know how we are. Don, you're exactly the same way. When you have a time that you're supposed to be somewhere, it's pre-programmed. When you do a morning show, you can't. Once you've done a morning show, that's it. You're pre-programmed where you've got to be punctual, and if you're not punctual... I mean, Don and I used to do live broadcasts at different locations.
Going a million miles an hour.
We would go to live broadcasts, or we would go to appearances, and you and I would bump into each other going around the block because we got there early.
Yes.
Nothing. I cannot stand being late. I hate it. I hate it more than anything. And so my heart rate was a little elevated. So we go in there. The lady could not have been nicer. Her name is Judy, and I'm going to call her Saint Judy.
Saint Judy.
Because I believe that Judy may have saved my life today.
Well.
Oh, my God.
See, the music was appropriate.
Sure.
Okay, Tiger, what happened?
All right, so they come in and they say, all right, here's what's going to happen. She explains the whole deal. She shows the 3D picture of the heart. They said, now what we have is we have one phase of this test where they're going to show you the hard plaques, the hard little things that calcify, and that's not what we worry about as much as the soft plaque, which is really what causes blockage. Mm. But if you have
sounds to me plaque, like you need some Colgate toothpaste.
Well, plaques are what the cholesterol and all that stuff in your arteries, and they're going to look and they're going to see if there's any kind of blockage, and they're going to do this with phase two. And she shows me a picture of this this huge artery and where it's blocked, and say that's a soft plaque, and that's what we see. And these little white specks on the other one, those are the little calcifications, and that's what we see. And those can break off occasionally, sometimes cause some problems, but we'll do that first, and everything should be fine. So now we're going to find a vein. So she looks at my arm, and I got bad veins as far as being able to find them. And she says,
"Right,
you know, we just can't seem to." I'm going to wait for the office manager to get in here. Huh. He's great at it. He's just got the magic touch. But she ends up going to the other arm. There's the arm right there, and finding another vein, uh-huh. and she does it without any problem. And they wheel me into this this little area, and I take my shirt off.
Oh, what was that nurse's name?
Judy.
Judy. Judy. Do you know that they called Beth Ann before the show today?
Oh, really?
Hello?
Hey, didn't they call today? Didn't that place call today about Mike?
Yeah, he had just left, and they wanted to make sure that we would tape it so that they could hear it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not gonna say what they are because I'll get it wrong, but they're the 3D heart scan place. And I think it's called Fairfax Radiology.
It's more generic.
It's in the Yorktown 50 building. It's where they do the heart, okay?
Yeah.
Because they were good. They were nice. They were very, very nice.
They were very nice.
They could not have been
nicer. For my money, and I'm sure they're great. Thank you, BA.
You're welcome.
I'm sure they're great, but that's what you want. You go in to have your heart checked. You want the doctor to call the radio station afterwards.
Well, they were a little concerned also. When I left, they were concerned when I was there, and they were concerned.
Okay,
they seemed concerned.
Why?
Well, they put me into the room and they say, "All right, now the last time you had a similar procedure, it was they did a thing for your stomach. They were looking at a magnetic ray, and you got a hive. It's really not that big a deal, but." It may be cause for concern. We use different substance now that is not the same as the old stuff that they inject into you, but it's just a little cause for concern. So we're just going to be aware of that, and we'll see how it goes, and everything should be fine. So I'm not even listening to this because I'm ready to get in there and get this thing done. And you go in, and they give you the IV, and they put you in the little... It's like a CAT scan. Anybody that's ever been in one of those little tubes that you go back and forth in, and they put me in. They put the IV in my arm. And
CAT scan.
With a CAT scan. And everything begins. They said, "All right, we want you to breathe in deeply." Well, and then
Buzz has just walked in.
All right.
A little research.
Oh, yeah. All right. Fairfax Radiological Consultants. And the Yorktown Imaging Center. It might not be the same one, Buzz, but I think it is. I think I may have given the wrong one. Seriously. There's one right next to it, too.
In
it's all over. It's where all the medical places are, but they're really close. If I screwed up, I apologize.
All right.
So, at this point, they say...
Yeah.
We're going to have you breathe in deeply and then hold it. Breathe in, breathe out, breathe in, breathe out.
Right.
And hold it. And then they take a picture. Okay. Now we're going to inject you with the stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So they say, breathe in, breathe out, breathe in. Now hold it. And as this stuff goes in, suddenly I feel, which I was told later was normal, I feel like I'm going to boot.
Okay.
I feel like I'm going to yakety yak.
Okay.
It's a feeling of nausea. It's normal. I guess it's the warmth of the stuff. That's what causes that.
Gotcha.
The moment she says to me, "Are you feeling okay? Nothing like a hive?" I say, "Nope." And you hear, I think she walks out through a door. And as soon as she walks out, I feel the right side of my face begin to itch like I couldn't believe it. And then I feel my chest start to itch. Then I feel my left arm start to itch. And then this is the part they got a little uptight about. I felt my lungs start to itch on the inside. And I sneezed. And I go, "Yeah." And at this point, two people come, "Stop the test." Because the sneeze apparently is the indicator that you are having a... the last time I got one of these done, I had a tiny little hive right under my eye. Just this tiny little thing. Well, this time, hives began to... appear all over my body, hives, and the worst one was the one that occurred that's still, no, actually it's gone, no, it's still there.
Hives!
It was on my, right next to my mouth, sort of on both sides, giving me the illusion that I couldn't feel anything in my mouth. Ooh. And I had a hive that was on the roof of my mouth, and they said, "Well, we're going to stop the test now." And they came in, and she said, "Would you call the doctor, please?" And the doctor came in and said, I understand we have a little bit of a problem here, all right?
So when you say you have hives, it's like you've broken, it's like you're allergic.
You're having an allergic reaction, right. Okay. Which many people do.
Okay.
And I was fine with that because I'm like, yeah, whatever. The only one that freaked me out was the one on the roof of my mouth. Because she said, you have one on the roof of your mouth? I said, yes. Okay, we're a little concerned about that. If it goes into the throat can close. And I said, oh, well, that's not going to happen. And Valerie at Fairfax Radiology called?
No, that's the name of the place.
Oh, Fairfax Radiology. That's it. Thank you for all the help, people. I appreciate that. And so I get this thing on the roof of my mouth, and the bottom of my mouth is just... And I guess what I'm telling them is starting to freak them out a little bit, because I'm saying, you know, how are you feeling? I said, well, I really can't feel my jaw right now. And I look down and I feel what appears to be what you would get if you were stung by a bee, but you were stung by a bee that was the size of maybe a crow.
Okay.
it's a welt. And
a goiter.
And then down
like you
here.
Like goiters all over
this
yourself.
This one's gone, but it's still, everywhere I've got them, the skin is still all rock hard and hives and
rock hard.
The doctor comes in and says, at this moment, I've gotten just a little of this stuff. Phase two of the test, and the first part of the test has been completed. Phase two, they're going to really inject me with this stuff. And the doctor comes in and he says, well, you know, you're here, and if you had to have a more invasive procedure, they're still going to inject you with the stuff. And, you know, he's kind of giving me the go-for-it speech. And at this point, I'm starting to feel the heart rate increase a little bit. And I'm starting to feel just not right at all. And Judy, my nurse, says, if he's got them on the roof of his mouth, this is probably not what we should do right now. And they can pre-medicate you so you won't have this much of an allergic reaction later. And the doctor says, yeah, no problem. I'm just having a bad day.
Oh, my God.
And so after he says that, I laugh at that, kind of nervous, like I'm going to throw up laugh. And I look at him and I say, well, what is the, you know, really, what's the worst case scenario with this type of thing? He said, death.
That would be worse.
I don't know what it's called. I think it's called anaphylactic shock or something like that.
That's exactly.
You go into shock and you stop breathing, and they basically call 911.
So
and,
did they?
No, they didn't have to call 911 because we decided at that point. You might think I'm crazy. At that point, I decided, well, we're not going to go on with the test, and the doctor and the nurse agreed we're not going to go on with the test. And you know, at this point, I'm just sitting there waiting for my eyes to close and my mouth to shut. You know, and just be all. And they wheel me out and they put me. And when I stand up, that's when I got just apparently a little wobbly. And Judy walked me in there, and I looked down at my right hand, and my right hand's going. It's shaking. I don't know if it's shaking because I was having an allergic reaction, but you know what? When I get nervous, it doesn't manifest itself like that. So I think this was the... Yeah, I'm allergic to iodine. And at this point, Judy says, now, one of the things you might want to do after you get out of here, in case you're in a car accident, is go to the drugstore and get one of those medic alert bracelets. Because if I'm in a car wreck, and they want to take me in like on ER and take a picture of my inside...
You don't need that.
And use that, that'll throw me in.
Yeah.
And here's the other thing. I got one...
Well, now I know what I can get you for your birthday.
What's that? A medic alert bracelet.
Is
that I'm allergic to iodine. That's what I'm allergic to. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know that. Here's the deal. The last time I went in, I just got a little bitty high. They weren't concerned. But the way your immune system works is when the body identifies something that it ain't good for you, that it doesn't want in you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God. There it is.
And it's still itching. What the body does is it overcompensates. So the allergic reaction that I got the last time was multiplied by, you know, I don't know how many times.
Really?
But it was an amazing... And the thing that got me was the one on the roof of my mouth. It coincided. When that one popped up, it coincided with the doctor saying the worst thing that could happen would be death. And that's when they started talking about, you know, 911. And then they just brought in saline like you wouldn't believe. They brought in these bags of saline solution, and they were running that
through
me.
Those are good for breast implants. Like, those are good for contact lenses.
And then one of them said, you may have to go to the bathroom in a while, I think. I said, you think? And then another doctor came in, and then we were just having a... I got the office manager. I got Nurse Judy over here. I got the other doctor, you know, who was saying, man, I'm having one of those days.
Sign this release.
And that's the thing that killed me. Having one of those days. Doc, yeah. I love you. You did a great job. I was fine. And my heart rate started to come down about probably 25 minutes later. And I wasn't having the shakes and doing all this and feeling lightheaded. It was just, I had a terrible, horrible allergic reaction to this, yeah. Which is not uncommon. There are plenty of people that are allergic to this stuff. It's just, if they'd shot me with the rest of the juice that they were going to put in me, that could have put me into whatever that's called,
anaphylactic shock. And you'd be dead.
And I'd be dead right now.
Yeah. Well, if it was so much
worse.
Boy,
would I have egg on my face.
You would. Wouldn't you feel awful?
Who knew?
That's the one moment, really, when they were talking, when I said to him, and I laughed after that, because, you know, you got to be macho. But I was just about to say, he was giving me the speech, you know, hey, you're here, yeah, you might as well go for it. I was like going, yeah, go ahead. I would have gone and pulled the trigger. And then lovely Judy, the lifesaver over there, says, well, you know, they can pre-medicate. And, you know, the long and short of it, they read my first part of this, and zero. I got none of that that placky stuff.
Well, that's good.
But yeah, but the bad stuff's the other stuff.
So. But you were talking about how this time it went a lot worse than the one hive before.
Yeah.
So if they do it again, could it be even worse?
Yes.
Wow.
The odds are...
I forbid you from going then.
The odds are...
I forbid you.
Medicine is worse than the disease?
I get the word tomorrow from my cardiologist whether they're going to pump me full of steroids and have me go in and take another one of these tests.
But
the odds are, no.
Forget it. Wow. Mike, play through the injury.
I'm going to play through the injury.
Play through the injury.
I'm just going to, you know, go ahead and deal with this. And it was...
We'll just have a race, you and I, to see who's going to be the first to have the heart attack.
You know, you go in, you've had medical procedures, you go into stuff like this, I'm not thinking life and death. I'm thinking this is a procedure. This is really an X-ray. That's what this thing is.
Yeah,
it's nothing. Right. It's nothing that big a deal. And all of a sudden, man, as soon as this stuff, it was like nauseous. Then I just felt all this itching all over my body. And then I let go of this sneeze. And apparently, when you have this allergic reaction, the sneeze is the little alarm that they hear. And when they heard me sneeze, it's like, warning, warning, grass. And they come running in there. And, you know, they seemed legitimately concerned. But they also, I'll tell you, Judy rocked. If there were more nurses in the world like this lady, she was phenomenal. And you know, the doctor was okay, too, even though he was having a bad day.
He owes her a raise.
I'm throwing him under the bus, but I'm just saying what he said, you know.
Did you get a happy ending?
No. Nice Irish lady, Judy, who could not have been sweeter.
Hello, Sean.
Wish I had her last name.
Donna Mike Show. Hello, Sean.
Yeah, just want to say good day to you both.
Yeah, hi.
Three of you. Hey, Mike, are you allergic to seafood or shellfish,
No, I am not. No, I eat tons of salt. I had seafood this weekend. I had seafood last night.
You bastard!
Hey, maybe that's what did it. Whatever. But you know what? And after all that, you read the instructions. You know, I don't like doctors to start with, and to go in there and then go, what's the worst case scenario? Death.
Well,
thank you.
Either way, it's probably good that you came in peanuts and donuts today.
Hey, I came in because with a little zest for life. Is that okay?
That's okay.
I mean, I'm having some peanuts, okay?
Glad to be alive.
Okay. I'm having a donut or two.
Got a new lease on life.
I mean, I had wings, hot wings, and I also didn't mention that where I went right afterwards.
Where?
I went to Quiznos.
Oh, they're very good.
I went to Quiznos, and I had two sandwiches.
Trauma really works up an appetite.
No, you feel better after you realize your throat's not going to close.
Right.
And you don't have,
you're grateful.
You know,
I hope you didn't get the turkey and iodine sandwich.
It's very cool. It's very cool to get a second lease on life.
Maybe. Shut up, you.
Okay. Right.
Maybe I can get you a Boston Red Sox type emergency bracelet.
Well, I'm gonna get.
Maybe it says
they make very nice ones, very fashionable medical bracelets.
Did you get one that said something about Yaz?
Like, you know who I
didn't
looking
have
like,
anything put on.
Would you really like to know who I looked like? And this is legit. You know who I looked like?
Who?
After that reaction, I looked like Woogie. Woogie from...
Don't know Woogie.
Something About Mary, Woogie. Chris Elliott?
Oh.
That's exactly what they are.
Wow.
I mean, to, you know, the nth degree, but I mean, it's, Woogie is what I look like, because these things, and the one was the killer.
Well, now yours weren't, like, boiling with pus, were they?
No, they were just raised areas, and what Judy said to me was, okay, your face is a lot less red now. Mm. I think we can, I kind of got up when there were like four of them around me, having a little discussion, looking a little nervous, and I'm like... Okay, well, I'm out of here. Thank you. Thank you very much. And everything. I'm not necessarily going to get that done anytime soon.
How was traffic coming back?
Traffic was fine.
Okay.
Traffic was fine. But I for those people out in like Gainesville, Haymarket, Virginia, that area, I want to just say my heart goes out to you people and everybody else in the world that has to deal with
how that. Dare you move into the same county as Mike O'Mara lives?
That's one of the ladies said that today. Hey, I'm from Gainesville too. I said, why'd you move to my area?
Yeah, thanks.
That's what I said. Why did you move to my area? You know, there were two people out there. The hell are you doing?
Most importantly, though, I just want to say thank you, Mike, for not walking into the light.
Hello.
I don't think I was even close to the light.
Greg, hello. Thank you.
Hello, Don.
Mike. How are you guys?
Don and Mike, hello.
Hi, how are you?
We're doing great. How are you guys doing today?
We're doing great, thanks.
Fine, how are you?
I'm fine. Mike, I think I can explain why you had that real shaky feeling after that reaction. Did they give you a medication called epinephrine?
No, they didn't give me an epi. They said that's the that's
an epi.
Really. If they give you an epi, that's when they give you that when they've already dialed 911.
Dave, last call here, Dave.
Hey, Mike, was that girl Judy? Did she live out by you?
Yes, she said she did. I think so. I think she lived out near where I live.
She's a party girl, man. She's a lot of fun. She is. She's a lot of fun.
And a hell of a nurse.
Now, how do you know? It's just a name.
She's a
No, because I know where she works, because we hang out together. I know her.
Her husband. All right, how old would you peg her as, sir?
I'd say probably 31, 32, maybe a little bit more.
No,
curly
no.
hair, brown.
No.
Not the same Judy.
No, I don't think this is the same lady.
Not Judy
in
disguise.
Well, I'm going to call her tonight and find out.
Okay, find out and call me tomorrow if I'm wrong, you know?
I'm going to make sure they're not lying to you and your x-rays are negative, or positive, I mean.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Thanks for following up on Mike's medical.
Yeah, well, they care.
Thank you, listeners.
I'm concerned.
Okay.
I think really now with all the testing that you talk about, I'm pretty much going to let the chips fall.
Yeah.
And what I think really... Because you can help yourself, no matter what your situation is, you just adopt a healthier lifestyle.
Yeah.
Those peanuts. Is that iodized salt in those peanuts?
I shouldn't bring this up.
Mm-hmm.
But aren't you not supposed to eat peanuts?
That's because of my other health problem.
Because of your diverticulitis.
No, I mean, what am I going to do? What do you want me to do? Just call into, you know, go into a cave and die?
Be happy.
No, I've had my little,
but the one
test,
thing,
my
but,
little test that almost killed me.
But the one thing that you're eating is the thing that screwed up your
colon.
Your
Rob, poop. Take these away.
That'll, your poop before.
Right.
You're supposed to not eat peanuts.
I know. Well, that's because I ate a whole jar. That sucks. Remember that day I ate the whole jar?
Yeah, that's not good.
And I know.
My sister's 50th birthday party the next day.
You've eaten a lot of those already today.
Should I have Joe return the other two jars he bought?
Nope. He can keep them. I'm fine. That's it for today.
Can I have a few?
That's you can have some.
Can I have some?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, okay, guys. Yeah, dive in. Eat my peanuts.
See, don't you get what he's saying?
Yeah.
Just leave it. Probably don't eat them. I mean, well, eat the ones in your hand.
All right.
What he's saying.
He doesn't really want to give them
up. Put them over here until, you know, later until we've forgotten about it.
There
they are.
There you go. That's what friend.
With out all of sight, out of mind.
I hope, and I'll ask you this question, I hope everything that I'm saying in no way takes away from the way I was treated at this place. They could not. They knew I was having a problem. They treated it.
They're on
it was
top
fine.
Of it.
The only thing that freaked me out was the doctor that said he's having a bad day.
Did they laugh when you pulled out your Infinity Broadcasting, whatever the Mexican company it is?
No, they didn't laugh.
That's covering our medical
no
now?
No laughter at all. Same reaction as usual. No, this is unacceptable. We will not accept this.
Well, know. My prayers
in fact,
were
they don't
answered.
Then they don't even take a credit card. They actually ask for cash.
My prayers were answered because you are here today.
I'm very, I do feel a little giddy and also I feel a little wacky at the same time. I feel both euphoric.
The joy of life.
But yet I feel tired and just a little wobbly. I still don't feel quite myself.
What the hell? Have a peanut.
No, I'm going to go down during the break and visit Colette's House of Donuts.
All right.
I'm going to have one or three more.
Okay, we'll be right back.
It's the Don and Mike Show.
A lot of times people, media and people in general, think people are crazy when they say God spoke to them. I didn't hear an audible voice. Nobody came and knocked on the door and told me, Reggie, you should do this.
Reggie what?
I just heard something in my mind that gave me extreme peace. While I was getting my back rubbed, God spoke to me and told me I made a promise. When I signed a deal, last year, I signed a 5-year deal with the promise to the team that I would play for 2 years. I made a promise to the Green Bay Packers that I would play for 2 years.
What?
And while I was laying down, the Lord spoke to me and said, you made a promise. And I said, what do you mean? He said, you made a promise. You promised them that you would play 2 years, and I want you to fulfill that commitment.
The Don and Mike Show.
Doesn't he say he signed a 5-year contract with the Packers?
Right. And then he promised that he'd play for 2 years.
But he promised that to God.
Yeah, well, no, I think he promised the Packers.
No, I think he says he was laying on the table talking to God.
Oh, and he... So, in other words, he signed the 5-year contract with the Packers.
But he made
kind of a side deal with God.
Yeah, right.
Literally cooler, entertaining than a litter of acrobats. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
All right, hold on. Here it is one more time. The great Reverend.
This is good.
Reggie White. Let's analyze it. We've had this tape for like 7 years.
A lot of times people, media and people in general, think people are crazy when they say God spoke to them.
See, now he's going to get it. He's going to say when he's laying on the table.
Something
right?
Profound.
God spoke to him and said... Oh, Reggie, this is God. Only play 2 more years with Green Bay.
I didn't hear an audible voice. Nobody came and knocked on the door.
Right.
And told me, Reggie, you should do this. I just heard something in my mind that gave me extreme peace. While I was getting my back rubbed, God spoke to me and told me I made a promise. When I signed a deal, last year I signed a 5-year deal with the promise to the team that I would play for 2 years.
A promise to the team
that
he
was playing. I made a promise to the Green Bay Packers I would play for 2 years.
Yep.
And while I was laying down, the Lord spoke to me and said, you made a promise. And I said, what do you mean? He said, you made a promise. You promised them that you would play 2 years.
Them.
And I want you to fulfill that commitment.
Oh, so he was going to walk away from everything.
I guess.
He was going to walk away, I think, after a year.
How come God keeps speaking to these athletes? I realize that that's an old tape.
Big money.
I just saw somebody on the NFL channel, though, and it's not somebody, and I know you're wondering, who's the dork that watches NFL channel? I do.
You love it.
I like the show with Rich Eisen.
You call the control room.
Yeah, well, I have when they weren't running the right thing.
Right.
They had some guy from the Ravens, some like guy you never heard of who plays in the defensive backfield.
Right.
And he was saying that God had spoken. This was on the show that was on either yesterday or today.
I hear it a lot.
Exciting.
That God had time. Where is it? God, my number's open.
Yeah.
Give me a call.
I don't think
it works that way.
Christ, I walk around talking to him all the time. I never hear a goddamn thing.
Hold on.
That's not God calling me.
Oh.
Not God.
Silence.
That's just our fake telephone ring.
Silence.
Hold on.
Hey, buddy, it's your old pal Dave. Listen,
oh, no.
There you've he never is. Been funnier than you've been this morning. Either that or I'm all goofy on Pop-Tarts.
Right. Okay, listen, hold
Dave
on.
Dave, let her God.
Hold on for that that Joe thing for one second. B.A., you got those numbers?
I do.
We're going to go south of the border here for a second.
South of the border.
Now, this is not, maybe, the best story I've ever heard. Mike, if you didn't have your medical emergency,
yes,
this would have been our lead today.
Really?
Yeah. And I'm glad that we got your medical emergency.
Okay.
Well, yeah.
But now you tell me, which is better? Well, of course, it's better that you are okay. What are you looking for?
What?
What are you looking for?
I don't know. I just had a business card in my pocket, and I don't know why.
Well, go ahead. Look at it.
I already did. I looked at it.
And?
It's nothing.
Well, what do you mean it's nothing?
It's nothing important.
Well, share it with the class. What are you being this way for?
Oh, it's just a boat. It's a boat place.
Uh-huh.
It's Mary Rabbit's number.
Well, did they give you something today when you went in?
No, it's Mary Rabbit.
Did they?
She works
you,
on my. She works on my boat.
They give you like some goofy juice or something when you
I
went
thought
in.
Thought you didn't enjoy that name. Look, at that's the real name, Mary Rabbit.
Mary Rabbit. I see that.
Mm-hmm.
You realize you just tried to tuck that into your chest?
No.
Yes, you did. I swear to God, you.
No, I might be.
You
I'm,
missed.
I'm perfectly fine.
You missed the pocket. You actually started to tuck that into your chest.
Nothing. It was injected into me of a narcotic nature. I might be a little fatigued and a little goofy and a little relieved, but I'm fine. I am absolutely fine. And I just felt. You ever felt something? You ever feel something in your? Now see, that's silly. You ever feel something in your breast pocket and you don't know what it is and you just went to check it out? You just happened to catch me when I was doing that. You normally would be talking about your story from south of the border, and I would be looking at this and go, oh, that's that, and then I just put it away.
Okay.
A throwaway, as it were.
I thought it might be from that place where I got the stuff done today.
Right.
And that would be important because?
I don't know.
I have no idea.
Might have slipped it in while he was unconscious.
Because it certainly couldn't be that you haven't given them enough plugs today.
No, I'm fine with that. They don't need plugs.
Yeah, I know you. Because
nobody in the medical profession around this area, this beehive, this little anthill, this little termite mound.
They don't want them, really.
Nobody needs plugs. Huh?
Get it? Hive?
Hive. Yes, hive.
Still have one, too.
I know.
Right there. That's the big one.
I mean, I don't really see it, but
I see it. It's a hive. It's not really that noticeable. It's like a bee sting.
Okay.
Okay, go ahead. I'm so sorry.
No.
I want to know what the story is.
I'm so sorry.
You said this would have been the lead, and you said this is a great story, and it happened in Mexico, and I want to know what it's about.
It is, but whatever you're going through is a better story.
I'm not going through anything. I mean, really, this is not like an absinthe show. This is not like, I'm going through things, but I mean, it's nothing.
I know.
You know.
But just because you're not on absinthe doesn't I wouldn't want to tap into some of this.
A lot of stuff happened today during this procedure that was not normal.
Mm-hmm.
The reaction of when they gave me this stuff to make me chill out. In fact, they said the medication they gave me for this test is supposed to make me relax, but it made me wired.
Mm-hmm. See, I know what this is, and you still are now. What you would really like today, and I swear to God, I'm not busting your balls. I think what you would really like is just 4 hours to talk about.
To talk about my health?
To talk about.
See, then I'm getting like to be like a senior citizen, where I just want to talk about my maladies.
You know
I'm a huge hypochondriac.
That's what I meant.
I mean, any woman that's ever dated me, married me, any of that, they know that I'm an enormous...
And some fit into both categories. They've married him, then dated him.
You know what?
Excuse me, the other way around. They dated him, then married him.
I am an enormous hypochondriac. I know that.
They dated him, and then they married him.
Mm-hmm.
What? What's happened?
Interesting.
What?
At the procedure, I saw flowers growing from my fingers, and they bloomed into ice cream cones. That's Rob.
Wow. What they give him?
Rob is now unhinging his jaw, laughing at his writing, at his writing skills in the corner with his shaved back. But what happened in Mexico is what I'm curious about. Yeah. I did not mean to stop the show by reaching for a business card.
You haven't. I think it's cute. I think it's funny.
I did find the name to be kind of interesting, too, you know. I mean, that's
Mary Rabbit.
That's the lady that coordinates like service for boats and stuff, and she does a very good job.
Okay, now you try to find the pocket again to put
I'm
that
fine.
Back
I've
into.
Got, I knew where it was.
You want to just take
Watch.
A second?
You want me to do it again?
Look. Want to just take a second? Explain to me why the name Mary Rabbit is so Mary?
Because that was the business card that I had in the pocket, and that's the person I dealt with today after my procedure. I spoke to her about boat stuff.
But you said, and her name is Mary Rabbit.
Right, like Eddie Rabbit, and there are not many people named Rabbit.
No.
And I thought, considering that you say that three times at the beginning of every month, I thought you might find that interesting.
The late Eddie Rabbit.
The late Eddie Rabbit.
And Mike...
Regretfully, he has passed.
Did you interview him?
I never have.
Did you?
No.
Did you?
Nope.
I did.
Ah.
Just before he died?
No, I interviewed him.
What was your nurse's name again?
Judy.
Judy?
Mm-hmm.
Nurse Judy from, and don't say the place, because they've got enough.
Yeah, yeah, and they don't already. Need plugs.
No.
Nurse Judy?
Hello?
Hello, Judy.
No?
Thank you for helping me today.
Watch it, guys.
What was the name of the procedure? Don't tell me to watch it, Judy.
Hey, Dom.
Hey, Don.
Hey.
Hey, Judy, are you a pretty girl?
Watch it, Don.
You're a very pretty girl that likes to wear dresses.
No.
What, Dom?
You're a very, very pretty girl that likes to wear ladies' under things.
No.
Yep, absolutely.
Watch it.
He's very hostile today, and I'm tweaking that a little bit.
I can see that.
What can we do for you, Thomas?
Hey, when am I going to get my massage?
Get your massage. Oh, that's the Red Sox bet.
This fall. Incidentally, I'm already in what is it, the beginning of June, and right. I'm already getting my magic fingers ready for that, because I'm beginning to be convinced that that's the way it's going to be.
All right, Judy, we got to go. You've outlived your usefulness once again. Call again soon.
Hey, guys.
Yes, Tom.
I'm going to be at the Herndon Festival tomorrow night.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's
Friday
a great...
Friday night, I'm going to be at...
That's a great appearance.
Are you doing the kissing booth?
What?
Are you doing the kissing booth, Tom?
Yes, Bobby.
What part are you going to need massaged the most?
My thigh.
Is that, would that be your inner thigh, Tom?
Yeah.
The inner thigh.
Oh, my God.
That leads, right towards the promised land.
Oh, my God. And that's the rule. Whoever loses the bet.
It gives me the massage.
That's right. Now, Tom?
Yeah?
Tom.
Just the back, though, right? We're just doing the back.
No, it was legs and feet.
No, I'm saying, he is not allowed to roll over.
Oh, no, he's laying on his stomach.
On his stomach.
He may have to.
God, that's horrible.
Yeah, Don.
That's horrible.
What, Tom? I'm not going to, what are you yelling at me for? I'm not going to lose the bet.
Hey, Mike.
What?
Where's Charlie?
He's not here.
Hey, Tom?
Yes, he is.
He is not.
Tom?
Yes.
Tom?
Yeah.
Tom, when you mentioned you were going to an appearance tomorrow, now are you just showing up there or have they hired you?
I am showing up there.
You are just showing up there.
What are you going to be doing there?
Some of my Tom Gavin shirts.
Well, how do you spell the word heart?
H-A-R-T.
No, that would, if it was a TV show, that would be, right. If it was heart to heart, that would be right. How about nurse?
V-E-R-R-Y.
V-E-R-R-Y. Very. Nurse.
How about doctor?
D-A...
Hey, hold on. What do you want to
get? D-E-A-R-N-E.
Dernie.
And now here's a hard one, Tom. Hospital.
Oh. H-O-P dot.
Yeah, abbreviated.
Hop.
He's very busy, Don. He can't spell it out.
Medical.
M-E-N dot.
Now he's abbreviating everything.
Ment.
No more abbreviations, Tom, or you forfeit your status.
All right.
Spell iodine.
Oh, now, Rob, come on. All right. Go ahead, Tom. Go for it. Iodine.
I-N-D-O.
Indo.
You got that right. All right, Tommy.
Reaction to Indo.
Rock on, Tommy.
And also, we'll be at the Herndon Festival tomorrow night with Rob Belt and...
How are things at the group home?
Watch it. No group home anymore. It's an apartment.
Their apartment.
It's an apartment now.
Now it's a group apartment?
No, it's an apartment complex.
Is the apartment in groups, though? I mean, are they set up one building, another building, another building?
No, it's all in the same building.
What do you what did you have for breakfast this morning?
Yesterday?
Yeah.
Eggs and bacon.
Mm-hmm. That's when you were at the group home.
Watch it. It's not a group home, just a bunch of elderly people.
What are you having for dinner tonight?
I don't know.
What do you
mean? I've got to wait until... I go to JV's restaurant tonight and have, I might have chili mac tonight.
Ooh, chili mac. Yeah. Good
choice. Eggs and bacon followed by chili mac.
A while back, Tom, you were in therapy for your rage. How's that going?
Good.
Oh, yeah, Tom was in anger management. Right. Don't you remember when they told Tom that he should do that thing with the rubber band on his hand?
Yeah, because he was getting angry at people. He was saying bad things to them.
Are you still doing that, Tommy?
Nope. I grew out of it.
Graduated.
Grew Excellent. Out of that.
I graduated.
Right. How do you spell grew?
G-R-E-N-P.
He never lets down.
Perfect.
You know, it's like my heart sinks when he gets to E. He never lets down.
And he's not angry anymore. And maybe someday he's going to be as good as Dennis Murphy.
Watch that Murphy stuff. Murphy's not... What? He's not on my group anymore.
What?
Now, hold on. Did you mean group home, like the group home that you had your dinner at yesterday, or do you mean like your group, like your gang of friends?
My friends.
Why are you mad at Murphy?
Murphy goes all over the place. You send him, like, to New York, and you send him to California.
He's your arch rival.
Yes, we just sent him to California.
Yeah, you guys send me somewhere next.
Where would you like to go?
Where y'all...
No, where would you like to go?
If you could just pick a place.
Like, y'all affiliated...
Well,
pick
a city.
Like Philadelphia.
All right, that would be a great one.
One of our best affiliates.
We're loved in Philadelphia. I tell you what, we'll send you to Philadelphia. Spell Philadelphia.
P-H-I-L period.
Hey, I said no abbreviations.
No abbreviations, Tom.
Philadelphia.
You get, that's the first part. You got that. Go for the rest of it.
P-H-I-L.
Tom.
F-I.
You know... He just answered my question. He could say, even being Tom, do you think that he could Google it? You know, do you think? Tom, spell Google.
G-O-G-E.
And Tom,
Doge.
Tom, do you know what Google is?
What?
No, I'm asking. Do you know what the Google is? A search engine.
Yeah, Google is a search engine.
See, he's good at that.
He knows.
Mm-hmm. How do you spell internet?
I-N-T.
Yes?
Period.
E-N-T.
You got that
Intent.
Right. You got that right. All right, Tom. Always great hearing from you. How old are you these days, Tom?
44.
44, my age.
Yeah.
Do you have a message, Tom, for your arch nemesis, Dennis Murphy?
What did you say?
Do you have a message
for
Dennis Murphy?
A message for Dennis, Tom.
Dennis, you suck.
Oh, no.
Why does he suck, Tom?
Because he calls me all the time and
that's
tells me to go with him somewhere, and I can't go.
Why can't you go?
Because he doesn't know where I live.
Where does he want you to go with him?
Like to Ocean City.
Dennis Murphy has invited you to go to the ocean with him?
Yeah.
And why wouldn't you go?
I don't know.
To on a beach.
Why do you think he wants
you guys
to
would
go?
Have a great time together.
He wants me to help him do a show up there in Ocean City.
I think he wants you to be his lover.
No.
I think so.
Are you attracted to Dennis?
No.
Dennis is attracted to you.
No, he's not.
Yes, he is.
Who's better looking, you or Dennis?
Me.
Yes.
I'm the monster.
Right.
Roar.
Fantastic.
How do you spell roar?
R-O-R-O.
Roro.
He never lets you down. That's the magic.
It's a good one.
Because you get to R... Oh, and you think, okay, this time the bit is it's totally soured.
You're a triple threat entertainer, Tom.
Yep.
All right,
like,
Tom.
I like the new
what?
The new producer for you.
You like BA?
What?
Don't bother her, Tom.
I'm not.
Okay, thank you, buddy.
Bye, guys.
All right, bye. Bye. Hang up.
Bye, then.
He's great at hanging up.
Yeah.
Good call.
Tom Gavin.
Does it immediately.
Thomas Aloysius Gavin.
A wonderful chat with him today.
Okay. Mexico.
Yes.
Now, I really need some... I very rarely say this on the show. Spotlight on Mexico, and we're looking for Mexicans.
Huh.
Okay? Legal, you know, illegal, I don't care. I want to know if you've heard of a guy named Brozo... The clown.
Brozo.
And now that's not like a Japanese guy saying, oh, Brozo, that clown. The guy's name is Brozo.
Brozo.
B-R-O-Z-O.
See, I am Brozo.
He's dead. And from what I have been able to find out, he's a clown.
Okay.
Dead. He just quit.
Oh, he just quit.
He just resigned.
But
Pinto is dead.
But, oh, yeah, I'm getting my clowns mixed up.
Yeah,
okay.
So many
Pinto, the original Bozo, is dead.
All right, this guy is a clown. He's on national TV
right.
every day in Mexico. He uses bad language. He wears a green wig and a shiny white nose, and he is the most famous, most popular newscaster,
Brozo,
in the history of Mexico.
Does he wear clown makeup when he does the news?
Yes, he does. Yes, he does. He has a show that is called El Mananero. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly.
Mananero, I think.
And what it means is...
El Mananero.
It means sex in the morning. His character that he has played... But he does the news.
Sex in the morning.
He does the news as Brozo... The gloomy clown.
Brozo.
Now listen to this. Mexicans are up in arms because he's quit. They say he understood this guy, Bronzo the clown.
Brozo.
Excuse me, Brozo the clown, understood how to tell the news to Mexicans.
Yes.
Because Mexicans, in order not to cry, they tell jokes.
Okay, very good.
So this guy would get on the air wearing his clown makeup... And incidentally, sometimes would show up and would drink on the air.
There you go.
Would tell people the news.
That's a sign of good character.
And while the awful news is being reported, he's giving his own comments. He's calling people names. He's cussing.
Because he's Brozo.
And he is the number one. He's the Walter Cronkite of Mexico.
Why is he quitting?
So this dude quits. I don't know why he's quitting.
His wife had passed away.
Oh. Is that it?
Yeah.
Anyway... Listen to the people that stood up to say goodbye and we're going to miss you. You're such a treasured performer and the most...
They gave him a little farewell party?
The most reliable source of news in Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
His big party was chaired by the president of Mexico.
Really?
The president of Mexico.
Vicente Fox?
Right. At the end of his last broadcast, he removed his wig and his nose and pulled out his kids and said, hey, these are the people that really make this happen.
Ambronzo.
Ambroso.
Now, in Mexico, like everywhere, all the news now, no matter where you go, it's all done in the same way, the sensational style with the graphics and the people dead. And I told you when I was watching one of those Al Jazeera clips, I thought it was funny on the bottom of the screen that they do the crawl just like we do the crawl, except it's the crawl in their language.
They do the same thing in Mexican TV?
Yes, they do. Mm-hmm. And this guy apparently, in the midst of all of this, where you've got the whoosh, 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 and whatever the equivalent is of the Fox News alert,
right?
You got a guy who came on in clown makeup as a grumpy clown, a sad clown.
I'd love that on the news.
He would drink and get mad and berate people, and he was the number one newscaster in Mexico, and he has retired. Now, we're looking into this.
You want me to call down there?
Well, we have to take a break first. Here's the problem. We're dealing with, because I didn't believe this.
Right.
We're dealing with the language problem.
Right. Yeah. We got the language barrier.
That we're going to have to get a translator to try to get someone from this TV network on with us. But this guy, the sad clown.
Bronzo.
Bronzo. Bronzo. Bronzo. Hold on. Here you go.
I like Bronzo.
Here's a guy who's heard of him. I want to say Luis, but I bet it's Luis.
No, Luis.
Luis. Hey, Luis.
Luis.
Yes.
Yes, how are you?
We are fine. Have you heard of Bronzo?
Definitely. Definitely. I watched him in Mexico City. I watched him in Guadalajara.
Now, am I doing a good job of describing this guy?
It's exactly because he's very, very famous in my country. He's on the television, and the children love him. But also he does the news on Univision, and
he's on Univision?
Yes, he is.
Well, we can check him out on that.
Yes, he is.
Also, now hold on, I got a story here. I'm just hearing about this. When he quit. Mm-hmm. Not only did the president come on the air, the president of Mexico, they have the attorney general of Mexico, the lawmakers of Mexico, and they had more, they gave out more.
Just to honor him?
Yes. They gave out more credentials for the clown retiring from doing the news than they did from the World Cup. When the World Cup was in Mexico, they gave away more press credentials.
But does he do, it says the kids like him, does he do it for adults too?
Oh, everybody loves him. Everybody.
Yeah. He's on first thing in the morning, and it is a news show.
Kind of weird that he's wearing clown makeup.
But the way I understand it is that kids watch it because he wore the clown makeup, and who doesn't laugh at a clown?
He also
And you know what, Don? What's really funny is I'm not Mexican.
Oh, aren't you the clever guy?
Yeah, well, that's what's really funny. I'm not Mexican.
That is it. Let's give him a round of applause.
Very nice.
Good An job. Absolute brilliant dialect.
Very nice.
You had us hook, line, and sinker.
Yes, I did. Yes, I did.
That's very hard to pull off, my friend.
Well, you know, I have, like, Mike's talent. You know, I can do people, and I'm proud of myself, and I enjoy your show.
I will give you props, but, sir, I know Mike. Mike is a very good friend of mine, and you're no Mike.
And furthermore, whatever your name is, just to show that there are no hard feelings.
Sure.
As a matter of fact, hold on. Let me just make sure the other guy's not kidding either. Victor?
Yeah.
You ever seen this guy?
Yeah, he started out on a comedy show, and then he started in an election campaign, and then he got on this show, and now it's...
Hold on a second. Hold on. I want to go back to the guy that's
killed. Yeah, hi, Don, yeah.
Anyway, listen, I know you're proud of yourself.
I am,
And you should be. You got through. You had the fake accent. Had us going.
Good accent.
I appreciate it.
And I got something for you now. Where are you calling from?
Chevy Chase.
All right.
Congratulations.
Here you go.
You've been selected as a charter member in the Don and Mike Exclusive Listeners Club.
Sorry to have to do this to you.
You are now a registered Don and Mike caller and are entitled to all the privileges that come with said title.
Yeah.
Sure to watch your mailbox for your registered Don and Mike caller's sign.
It was
to be placed prominently in your front yard.
It was your attitude, sir.
You have been profiled, tagged, and you are now in the book. Good day.
good day.
I said good day, sir.
I said good day, sir.
Good day.
That's the thing. It could have been a perfectly good scam, but the attitude is what did it.
That's right. He had us.
A little cocky.
You know, all he had to do was say, hey, I'm not really.
Yeah, and just laughed about it, but no, he had that little thing like it was. Something really evil
and humble. It is, and as it turns out, it is something great. Robbie?
Yes, he is number uno cinco.
Uno cinco, number 15 in the book.
What's
and,
the name,
and what is it? Yeah, do you need the name? Are we going to get names now?
I think we have phone numbers. I don't know if we need names.
Always helps for classification.
That's true. What's your real first name?
Dave.
Dave.
Dave, and, and your last initial, Dave?
F.
Dave F.
Dave F. And Dave as F. is the great tradition, your final words on your big scam.
Well, basically, I enjoy.
Yeah. Okay. You know, if only there
That's
had been.
That's the best part.
That is the best part.
If he had just said, hey, I'm not really that, you know, we would have
Yeah, I did, Don.
Good one.
Little humility.
Yeah.
Good to hurt.
I did, Don.
Yeah, gotcha. Hey, you're in the book. Anyway, here's the other guy. Now, other guy.
Victor.
Which is Victor. Yeah. Thank you, Buzz. Victor.
This guy knows all there is to know about Brozo or Bozo.
You've seen Brozo.
Brozo.
A Brozo. You seen Brozo?
I've seen Brozo, yeah.
And?
It's more like, it's not a newscast. It's like a round table discussion. And he's just drinking all the time and smoking and he just,
But he interviewed important people, right? He interviewed people?
Right, they have people on the set also.
All right, now I got something from the internet here saying, Victor, created the gloomy clown, for Mexicans accustomed to groomed, tailored, and stiff newscasters. Brozo's irreverent approach was refreshing, and the show was seen as serious news commentary, despite the fact it was a drunk clown.
what do you think, sir? You've seen Brozo. What do you think the charm is?
He's just a clown of the people, I guess.
All right. Thank you, my friend.
He's been called a populist clown.
So here's what I was wondering. See, I didn't even know that you knew about this, Buzz, but I read this and thought this has got to be a scam.
Brozo.
So what we're going to do in a moment is, and you know we love calling foreign countries, and we love calling Mexico.
Of course we do.
The 52nd state, we love calling that even more.
Amen.
We're going to be calling whatever the network is. Now, Rob, how the hell are we going to get through the phone rule if they don't even speak American to tell them we want to put their voices on the air?
Well, we could try and call off the air to just say, you know, find us someone who speaks English, but also VA has found someone to translate for us.
Yeah, but we would even need the translator.
She could translate off the air.
Oh, yeah?
Hey, VA?
Yeah.
Okay, here you go. Here's the plan. What you do is you get the here's the number, Robbie, of the TV network.
Right.
And you get your translator. Mm-hmm. And then you get the permission to come on the air, and then they come on.
Then we get to Brozo.
With the translator, we'll ask questions about Brozo.
Right.
All right. Okay. All right, B.A.?
Okay.
And listen, if you're wondering at home, this B.A., I think she's a keeper.
Aww.
Yeah.
I think she's a keeper.
All right.
Just don't F it up. You're doing good.
Thank you, Mike.
All right, bye.
I like your style in the air, too. Yeah. Think about it. Go ahead.
Yeah. Yep. All right, so we'll have that. Oh, and I have to mention this as well. God, this is like a real regular show today. Also, at some point, I guess, my God, this hour, point counterpoint, we've never done this before, show, and it doesn't involve you and I arguing about something, although we may end up taking sides.
Very good.
I'll just tell you that it involves nerds, Harry Houdini, and once again, the magic city of Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Really?
The magic city of Milwaukee that gave us the clown Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm. Nerds. Harry Houdini and
Milwaukee.
And
arguing. One side against the other side.
Cool.
This battle in the squared circle has been reserved.
Over Houdini.
For this show. Today, yes. Right? Do we have them for today?
Yes, we do.
That's today. So this guy is real. The guy Brozo the Sad Clown.
And he is no longer. He's retired.
Right. He's retired because his wife is dead.
Yes.
Oh, here you go. Now from the internet. The name of his show is Mexican slang for quick morning sex. Brozo.
I am Brozo.
Brozo the drunk clown also proved his political influence this year when he brought a leading leftist lawmaker on his show.
Clarabelle.
And showed a secret videotape showing the politician taking stacks of money, taking a bribe from the city contractor.
See, I'm Broso, eh? But they wear the makeup so I can get away with all
real news, though.
How great is that?
Sounds like Broso's a little controversial.
Yeah.
How great is that? And he's a Walter Cronkite. Of course he's a Walter Cronkite of Mexico.
This is Broso.
Of course he is. All right, well, we want... listen, just let me tell you, based on prior experience, it always goes great when we call Mexico. So stay tuned.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Vaches. We ain't got no vaches. We don't need no vaches. I don't have to show you any stinking vaches.
The Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe.
Right. Yeah. Yo, G. Okay.
Oh, my God. It's Don and Mike.
Let's see. Explain to you what's going to happen here. Calling Mexico. Give me a second. The Joe Cicada tapes? Well, I lied. Not the first time I've lied to you. Sorry about that. We'll play them today.
All right. Yeah.
I said in the first hour of the show, but look at this. We're in the first, almost the first 90 minutes of the show.
Hey, things happen.
Let me just say, Bam, BA is on the phone. Here's the deal. Oh, and you know, after just 3 days, boy, did I know that she was the right man for the job. And really, she's doing good like a producer should.
Good.
You know, tomorrow on the show, I'm not sure which guy it will be. Some NASCAR guy. The race in Dover this weekend.
Oh, yeah.
And I want to talk to a driver. Mm-hmm. And she got a great booking for Monday. Ryan Seacrest's hairstylist.
Oh, man.
Not bad.
Now, she's getting in the spirit of what we do.
There you go.
We don't need Seacrest. Give us his hairstylist.
That's right. Like
give us
that.
The guy that messes that wig up.
Like that.
Yeah.
And we've not, you know, and once she gets into the rhythm of the job and
the first week,
and everything, we'll drag her ass in here, and we'll find out all about her checkered past, all about her home life and everything that she's got going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right now, all she's concerned about is work, and I love seeing it on the caller ID this morning.
Right.
8:15.
Mm-hmm.
Caller ID Frida says, oh, it's a station. I bet it's Alan. I go, oh,
yeah.
Christ. I hate talking to him so early. I think him. Hello? You know, that tentative, like, you don't want
right.
to them, hello? She's, hi, it's me! Wow, 8:15 already here, good for you.
That's good stuff.
Let's see how long that lasts. let's see how long before this place
will rank. Well, you know, it's like I always said, if you really want to get things done, get to work early.
Before this place drags her down. Like Tammy. Wonderful Tammy.
Oh, man, that's sad. Yeah. Tammy's not coming back. Tammy's going to be mom.
Our promotions director. Well, she is a mom. Mm-hmm. She had a baby.
She's not going to come back to work. She's going to stay and raise the baby.
Full-time mom.
She, it took her exactly one day. One day coming back to work here to where she decided she wanted to be a stay-at-home mom. That's what this place will do for you.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's why we were giving BA the pep talk yesterday about this radio station.
Absolutely.
So, listen.
And I'm going to miss Tammy. I really am. Yeah. I mean, Tammy
we all
is
are.
One of our favorites.
BA, here's the deal with Beth Ann and the Mexican TV station. The Mexican TV station, even though we have a translator, and again, another gold star for BA, she got a translator down here.
Right.
Some broad, Mexican broad, who's going to translate what we wanted to ask the Mexican TV station.
Well, okay.
Christina.
The Mexican TV station refuses to go on the air.
Oh.
However, it doesn't mean that we can't bring the translator in and simply have her pick up the phone and call and ask questions in Spanish and then tell us what it is that she's hearing.
Sure.
Because we have, I have questions about this guy. I've never heard of Bozo.
Why is he so popular?
Mm-hmm. So bring in the translator. Buzz, did you meet the translator?
I just met her in the hallway, as a matter of fact.
And her name is?
Christine.
Hola,
Christina. Hola, hi, Christine. Christina.
Sorry
about that. Hi, Christina.
Hi, how are you today?
Hi, we're great. How long have you been speaking Spanish?
Since I was born, 23 years old.
And where were you from, and where's your family from?
El Salvador.
El Salvador!
Now, have you ever heard of this guy on Mexican TV, the clown?
No, actually, I haven't.
You have not.
Rojo!
Barroso.
Barroso. Robbie, this is the number I dialed.
What is it?
Barroso.
We're going to call the TV station now. The TV network, and we're just going to hand you the telephone. You don't have to tell them anything about being on the air, because they're not. And then you can just answer, find out some of the questions. 2-5-5-5-2-6.
And you might want to start out with, I have some questions about Barroso.
Okay.
Or you might start out, the best, my best to you from...
Oh, there you go. Like quite the connection.
My best to you from my American housemates, Don and Mike.
Okay, she's waiting.
Phone is ringing now. Mm-hmm.
Calling.
See, back in the day, we would have just put this call on the air. We can't do it now.
It's the FCC.
Are you getting anything there? Christina, is it ringing?
No, it's a recording saying to hold on the line.
Okay, so you say
in Spanish?
No, it came in Spanish and then in English.
Okay. Or how about if you say... Would you mind saying that you're our maid?
Oh, God.
I'm the maid to two very popular national American radio personalities, Don and Mike.
You couldn't do it, could you?
No. Well, look at her.
Couldn't do it.
Look at her. She couldn't be out working the lawn.
No, absolutely not.
And
you never know, though, you know.
It's much too pretty for a car wash.
Yes.
I'm getting a busy line.
Oh, no.
All right, hold on. I'll redial. Hold on a second. Give me a second here. Just hold on to that phone, and I will redial.
Trying to find out the secret of this newsman slash clown's popularity. Mr. Shannon? I almost sounded like Wilbur and Drysdale there. I don't know why.
Hola. Hola.
Yo estoy enfermo de la cabeza.
Oh, no. Oh, hold on.
Now, that sounds a little clearer.
That's a ring. Now, you got that on line 7? Are you hearing that? You're not hearing that?
No, I hear an operator. Call cannot be completed as dialed.
Call cannot be completed as dialed. Okay. Give me another
dial chance in
here.
Spanish. Your fingers are not working.
5-2-5. Oh, God. You know, why are there so many numbers to call Mexico?
I don't know.
Okay, it's 011.
Because it's an international number.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's just right down the road.
5-2. It's just
five.
South of the border. Five, down nine, Mexico nine, way.
2612. 1,000. There, now come on.
These should be the answer that you've been waiting for.
That's here. Come on now. Let's have a Mexican ring.
That sounds right. Oh, yeah, that sounds like a ring. Sounds a little different.
There you go. All right. So now you've got it. Do you hear it ringing? Christina?
In your handset?
Do you hear the phone ringing?
Yes. She said to hold on the line.
Hold on the line.
Right.
Was it, you know, it might be a problem with our carrier.
I doubt that very much. We have good things here.
Because if it's an operator at the TV station?
Our carrier is LT&T.
Or
I'm on telephone and telegraph.
Or an operator.
Is it ringing?
It's ringing.
Ah, yeah, okay, great. So you start with hola. I know that's...
Hola!
Hola.
Hola, quería hablar con alguien acerca de Barroso. Acerca de Barroso.
You're the maid for Don and Mike.
¿Quién va a contestar ahí?
Calling about the clown.
Well, I think she's having a little exchange here.
The drunk clown.
She's saying that she can give me a number to this other city, and that's where his program was.
Oh, can she just connect you? Can they do that in Mexico?
¿Me puede conectar nada más al número? She's
going to
connect me.
Hey, there you go.
Tell her that the men of the house thank you.
And for comedy purposes, Christina, for comedy purposes, can you occasionally like mention just an American product as you're talking? Like when you're having your dad just go Crest.
Cascade.
Or
Cadillac.
Or Cocoa Krispies. You know, like when we're watching Spanish television.
Quería hablar con alguien acerca del señor...
Cornflakes.
No me puedes dar información de él acerca de lo que va a estar haciendo.
I'm calling for my lords, Don and Mike.
She's saying that she's not authorized to give any information.
Okay, can you just ask her as a citizen? Just say, tell her you missed the sad clown.
Realmente, porque lo extrañamos mucho, entonces queríamos información de saber cuándo va a regresar al aire o lo que va a pasar con él.
Say you like the clown as much as Cocoa Krispies. Can you say that, please? That you missed the clown.
Pero me dijiste que él había dejado de trabajar por qué razón?
Can you say please that you missed the clown? Say as much
he
as frosted.
Say you're
pregnant with Brozo's child. Come on.
Well, what do you care?
Yeah. They don't know who you are.
Joke.
Please say it's urgent that you're pregnant with Brozo's clown.
Are you serious? Do you want me to say that?
Yes. I'll get you through.
Say you liked him almost as much as Ronald McDonald. Can you just say that, please?
But could you say the thing about having his kid first?
Well, that'll be Spanish, though. I want to hear the American.
But I know, but it might be... if she says she's having his kid, she might get through to someone else, and then you're going to... I know what you want.
Is she still talking to you?
I'm still holding on the line.
Yeah.
What,
you're holding on the line?
I know what you want, Mike. You want the... baby room.
It's a Ronald McDonald.
So you're upset because you're carrying the child, the clown baby... like Jack Diamond, clown baby, the clown baby of Brozo. And it's imperative that he gets in touch with you. Just see what they say.
Can you say while we're waiting, is she back on with you? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Oh, she is. So you're listening to her now. She's talking.
She's on the line.
She's not on the line. Can you say, while we're here right now, can you say, I am Christina from El Salvador. I'm the Supergirl from El Salvador, and I like Frosted Mini Wheats.
Could you just say...
Can you say that, please?
Soy Cristina del Salvador y me gustan los Frosted Mini Wheats.
That's what I wanted. That's what I wanted.
Thank you,
girl.
Why is that?
She hung up?
All right,
she hung up.
Now, do you think, like, for instance, you think over in Germany, they sit around, they laugh, and they hear somebody go, my favorite car to drive is a Volkswagen.
Christina, would it be... I mean, this is great. We have never had an official translator for the show. Would you mind being our official translator? That'd be terrific.
All right, you know what? Now, you stay right there, Christina, because this time when it rings, I'm going to act like I'm your lawyer. I'm going to say I have the girl who's carrying the clowns.
Brozo's baby.
Brozo's baby.
Baby Brozo.
Right.
Baby Brozo.
Hello? I know, I'm getting the same thing you've got, the voicemail, mm-hmm. whatever this... What is the TV station? You ever heard of this? The network?
Televisión.
No. It's not Univision.
No, it's Televisión.
And then you say you found out you were pregnant with Brozo's baby because you found out using the early pregnancy test. EPT.
Hello? Yes, hello? Oh, hold on. Give me a moment. It's ringing. And it's that long foreign ring.
Mm-hmm. Stand by.
That ring that goes...
Rich.
Hola.
Corinthian leather.
Hola. You're going to have to bear with me for a moment, please. My name is Mr. Johnny Cochran, and I'm calling from Washington, D.C., and I represent a young woman named Christina O'Mara, and she is carrying the baby of Brozo, the television clown, and it is imperative that I get in touch with Brozo to find out exactly what Brozo is going to do about the young baby. Hold on, please.
Very good.
God. Now it's ringing to somebody else.
It's very exciting.
Stand by. Stand by for action.
Right. And then you could work it in, too, because you can say, I'm very frustrated because I've been carrying your baby, Brozo, and I keep the baby in Pampers.
Yeah, hola.
Or hola, Huggies. Hi.
You'll have to bear with me for a moment. My Spanish is not very good. Hello, my name is Johnny Cochran. I am calling from the United States, and I'm representing a young woman named Christina O'Mara. She has recently entered into a relationship with, if I'm pronouncing this right, Brozo. Brozo the clown, and she is currently carrying the clown baby.
Clown baby.
One moment, please.
Hey, you seem to be getting deep into the bowels here.
You're stuck in there. Now I'm getting to the third level. If I get to one more level, will they just pass it on? I'll give the phone back to you, Christina.
And then you can say, in a very animated way, you can say, I am very, very upset because right now I have a baby here. It is your baby, and I am feeding it Gerber's baby food. That's all I like. I mean, that's
do
what
I... Do you know why he's not on television anymore?
No, why?
We don't know.
Because his wife died,
yeah,
right?
It's very sad.
No. Yeah.
More than usual. Is he old?
And we're making a joke about someone else being pregnant.
Oh, dear. Yeah, well, that's what... Welcome to our world. Don't trouble yourself with things like that, Christina. It won't matter.
Yes, hello. Hello, I don't speak a lot of Spanish, so please bear with me. My name is Jonathan Cochran. I'm calling from the law offices of Cochran and Simpson in Washington, D.C., and I'm representing a young woman named Christina, and I understand that... one moment. Again, I'm on hold with a one moment.
Right.
Jesus Christ.
Don't you know why it's okay we make this joke?
Why?
Because if we don't make jokes, we cry.
Absolutely.
It's the Mexican sense of humor.
The Mexican way.
Because Brozo understood the psychology
it's just a big ruse.
Of Mexicans.
Right.
In order not to cry, we tell jokes. Oh,
absolutely.
Hold on. One more. It's ringing, and if I don't get any satisfaction this time...
I'm with the baby. When we get through, I have the baby right here, and I am covering the baby with Desinex. I'm just...
And now I might have to say that she's had the baby.
Mm-hmm. Right. The baby is been delivered.
I'll be waiting.
This is four rings now. Uh-huh. And I've been pushed...
Baby has already been delivered, and I am taking the baby to Baby to Team.
If we are going to... I have taken the baby to Toys R Us.
It's the best.
Up now. Hold on. I thought I was going to... It rang, then I got a moment of, like, Muzak, and now it's ringing again.
Okay.
So who knows where, you know, where into this Mexican maze we are right now. We're calling the TV station in Mexico about the clown, the drunk clown, the drunk clown newsman.
While we're waiting, Christina, could you say in Spanish, my name is Christina Brozo, likes me an awful lot, and he especially liked my Calvin Kleins.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, wait, hold on.
Yes? That's right. The same guy. Thank you. Hey, thanks.
I think you're Johnny Cochran.
It's Johnny Cochran.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yes, it is.
Yeah.
Thank you.
It's a ruse. It's a charade.
Hello? This is Hello? This is Mr. Cochran. Jonathan Cochran.
Can't do it.
Ah!
Too funny.
What? Hello?
Oh, no.
All those layers. Now, listen what happened. I can put this on here. What the hell? Listen what it is now.
You are out of there.
And they just hung up. Oh, wow. It was so funny. Hello, Mr. Cochran? Hello, is this Johnny Cochran? Yes, this is Jonathan Cochran.
That was big fun. Yeah.
All right, well, we were not able to get through to the Mexican TV station.
But, Christina, we would have had a lot of fun. Is there anybody you'd like to say hello to in our listening audience today?
Just my family.
Your family? Okay, well, go ahead.
I'd like to say hello to my mother, Gina, and my daughter, Hazel.
Okay.
And my boyfriend, Rolando.
Rolando.
Right? Nice. And certainly there are a few other family members you'd like to say hello to.
And in your native tongue?
That's it.
That's it for now? And would you like to use your native tongue? We love language.
We love
do.
Hearing you speak.
Please speak Spanish for us.
Quiero mandar saludos a toda mi familia.
Would you use, I don't care how you use it, but somehow in the sentence, would you use the word 7-Eleven?
Yes. Go ahead, Christina. Anything you want to say.
Me gusta mucho el café de 7-Eleven.
Yeah. Way to go, Christina.
Thank you for being our transfer.
Thank you for being a good sport. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Muchas gracias.
Thank you.
Fun.
Bye-bye.
Adios. Hasta luego.
CFCC, you can still have fun with the phone even without putting it on the air.
That was great. Johnny Cochran. Are you really Johnny Cochran?
And all of a sudden,
Johnny Cochran.
Four guys, I finally get someone picking up the phone.
Sure.
Someone who speaks English.
Yeah.
Hello.
How are you?
Hello.
Great to see you. I am a big fan of Johnny Cochran.
Yeah.
Well, that's right. We're very sad about Mrs. Brozo. But what are we going to do about this baby?
Right.
This baby that appears to have a head on its left shoulder.
The baby seems to have bright red hair and he's wearing big shoes.
We have to break. Oh, we pre-promoted this when we come back. A new feature on the show, Nerd versus Nerd Counterpoint.
Ah, very good.
Okay? Like where they're dueling with laser sticks.
I'm into this because I have my very first serious nerd discussion with my daughters over the weekend about daddy is a nerd a bad thing, and I really, it was kind of back and forth. A nerd necessarily, computer nerds are not necessarily bad things,
right.
You know, because they're real smart about computers. Daddy, are we nerds? I said, no, you're not nerds. You know, when it came right down to it, I couldn't pull the trigger on that one.
Right.
You know? Because nerds are geeks.
Yeah.
I didn't say that to them, but that's good. What I felt.
The good father.
Yeah, they are.
You're not nerds, my little angel.
No, you're not. Right. Not nerds at all.
And then
you better pray they're nerds. You better pray they turn out.
Yeah, I'd rather have nerds.
Yeah. Right.
Like really book smart nerds.
It's safer.
It's what I want, or it's straight to the convent.
I don't know why, and I know your daughters are way too young for this. But I just think about the technology when I watch commercials now, and I think it's like a herpes commercial when it first comes on, because the woman says, taking one pill a day was hard to remember, and then I realize, hold on, It's nothing like that. It's birth control, where now you just put a patch on.
Yes.
And, you know, and Mike, I can't help thinking, your girls are 8 and 6.
Yes.
What's going to happen?
What will the technology be?
In 10 years from now.
My God.
My God. And it's so easy. I just spray a little of this, and Dad never knows.
Shane Brozo didn't know about that.
Yeah, no.
Brozo.
Well, see.
And very seriously, our condolences to Mrs. Brozo.
Oh, regretfully, she has passed.
Yeah, she has passed indeed, and we will send her flowers from FTD.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, we both did. She went to college, too.
I went to Normandale for about a year and a half.
Yeah, that's where we met.
But I dropped out, though.
Yeah, she dropped.
Yeah.
So where are you girls from?
Chaska.
Le Sueur. But I went to high school in White Bear Lake. Go Bears.
The Don and Mike Show. Zero tolerance for stupidity. The Don and Mike Show.
All right, here we go. Time to salute some of our stations. 92.9 WBUF. All right, Buffalo. 1140 KHTK, Sacramento. And WNFL in Green Bay. I mentioned that because we have a girl on the phone now from Green Bay. A guy on the phone from Milwaukee.
Good.
Yeah, hey there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, you betcha, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So, are you ready now for the first ever edition of, I don't know what we're calling this, it's Nerd Point Counterpoint.
Very good.
And joining us is Bob Rath. The amazing Bob Rath. He's the vice president of the Houdini Club of Wisconsin.
Wonderful.
Also joining us is Lori Van Handel, who's the marketing officer for the Houdini Museum.
The Houdini Museum!
Now, here's the deal. One of these guys is telling the secret. One of these parties is telling the secret about how Houdini did some of his favorite, famous escapes.
So one of these people is doing a pen and teller.
All right. Yes. And the other person is upset about it.
Okay. The whole Houdini society.
Whole Houdini society. So, is it the guy from the Houdini Club who is pro or con, Rob?
Or is it Lori Van Handel from the museum?
The museum is revealing the secrets, and the amazing Bob Rath, and the Houdini Club is upset about it.
All right, well, let's talk to Lori first, if she's the one revealing Houdini's secrets. Lori, hi.
Lori Van Handel, are you there?
That's Bob.
Oh, Bob. Hold on, Bob. Sorry about that. Lori?
Yes, I'm here.
Here she is. Yeah, hey.
Hello, Lori.
Hello.
Hi, welcome to the show. And not only do am I to understand that you're a fan of Harry Houdini, you're a fan of the Packers.
I'm a fan of the Packers, yes.
Oh, so, I like those Packers.
So am I. Let's see how good a fan you are. What's Amon Green's number? That's an easy one.
I don't know what Amon Green's number is, but I know that we drive a green station wagon, and it's named after Amon Green.
Call it Amon. Okay. Well, you know, Don is actually wearing his Green Bay Packers golf shirt today.
I am. And if anyone asks you, it's number 30.
It's number 30. Yeah. I will remember Mr. Green's number is number 30 forevermore.
Number 30 in your program, number one in your heart. So,
right.
Lori, you're the marketing officer for the Houdini Museum.
How's the museum doing, Lori?
The museum is doing wonderful, and actually it's the Outagamie Museum.
Okay. And the trick that Houdini does that you're telling the instructions to, is this his metamorphosis trick?
It is his metamorphosis trick.
Now, what is his metamorphosis?
Like, I know this from when I was involved in magic.
You're deep into the magic stuff there. What the hell is that?
This is where it's the trick with the fake trunk, where you put, it's a box.
Right.
You put something.
Like an elephant trunk?
No. Yeah, a big box.
Steamer trunk. Okay, is it a steamer trunk? Well, I know you'd know that. Yeah. If it's anything steam-powered, you were there. Yeah.
Not that type of a trunk. The magician. The magician gets handcuffed and gets put in a burlap bag.
And they dump him in the water?
And gets put inside a trunk.
No, okay.
Water. And then he...
No water?
He frees himself. No water. And he switches...
Why are you explaining this when he was there?
Oh, Buzz?
In the day, you know, with steam.
But no, listen, here's the trick. It's a good trick. The magician says, handcuff me, put me in the burlap bag, now put me in this giant trunk.
Right.
And then they lock him in the trunk with all the locks, and then, poof! The girl who is his assistant, is all of a sudden, she's in the box, and she's got the handcuffs, and Houdini is out.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. So
metamorphosis.
That.
What point are you arguing today? I'm just curious. Are you arguing one of these points?
No, I've not made my decision yet. I'm just telling you, I'm familiar with it, and Lori, is that the trick?
That is the trick.
That is the trick. It's one of Houdini's most famous ones. Now,
yes, it is.
Now, how did he do it?
How did Houdini do it?
Yes.
Well, Houdini was a very talented magician, and he did it using his physical skill and his physical talent. And actually, the secret to metamorphosis is available at any library or on the internet. So, us telling the secret is readily available.
All right. So, if I did a Google search saying Houdini metamorphosis, would I be able to figure out? Would the Google search tell me how he did the trick?
I'm sure that you could access that online using Google.
And it's basically a false bottom in the trunk, right?
Well, we can't really say, Mike. It's the magician's
code. What's going on? Why not?
I'll tell you later.
No, I'll be honest. I don't know how it works. I'm guessing that it's a double back in there, and maybe they work with...
Well, I don't know anything about this code. Well, maybe they... You'll tell us later. What does that mean?
Well, I mean, if we don't want to reveal it now, I can tell you during the break.
You know the answer?
Yeah, I read about it.
You both know the answer?
Yes. I mean, I'm more or less...
What's going on here? I mean, I really feel out of the loop right now.
No, I don't.
Mike, listen, suffice it to say, a lot of times, not necessarily this one, a lot of times you use twins.
Yes.
A lot of times there's misdirection where there's a false back in one of these boxes. Whoa. And while something else is going on.
So, Lori, if people come to your museum, though, to make a long story short, they can figure out the way this trick was performed by going to your museum.
They can. There is an area called backstage in the exhibit.
Okay.
And if they do desire to know how this trick is performed, they have the option, and that is the key word, the option or the choice.
And that's why you're feeling...
Yeah.
Learn how it is done. And they are given that option in print, whether or not they want to learn how the trick is done. But I'd also like to...
Oh, you betcha, yeah.
Take a moment here to say that metamorphosis is truly about the art of the performer and the presentation. Okay.
All right, Lori, here's where I'm coming from, darling. As I mentioned, I'm a Packers fan.
Right.
Shouldn't have known that. Amon Green. Any idea what William Henderson's number is, the fullback? Any idea?
No, I...
33 in your program, number one in your heart.
It seems that Lori's being very careful.
So here's... Lori, you want to hide the secret? I'll tell you where I'm coming from on this. I love magic. I was a magician when I was a kid. I was, of course, on the Captain 20 show. Worked at Al's Magic Shop.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a big fan of Penn and Teller. And I think it's great to show how the tricks are done.
Yeah, you don't have a big problem with it.
I do not.
Now, so I would assume that someone has incurred the wrath of Bob.
And now, with the counterpoint, also from Wisconsin.
And what a coincidence that his name happens to be Bob Rath.
From Milwaukee, here is the amazing, Mike, the amazing Bob Rath.
The amazing Bob Rath.
From the Houdini Club. Bob.
Yes, this is the amazing Bob Rath.
Now, Bob, well, listen, we're going to let Bob and Lori duke it out here. Bob, exactly what's the problem with Lori letting people into her museum to show them how Houdini did this trick?
Well, our position of the Houdini Club of Wisconsin, which has members across the United States.
Yes.
And unlike any other different organizations, the Society of American Magicians, the International Brotherhood of Magicians.
Let me just stop you for a second. Do you live with your mom?
No.
Okay, we're just checking.
Okay, good. No. That's one for you.
Point for you. Hey, Bob, before you proceed, one quick question, unrelated. You ever been to the Clown Hall of Fame?
Yes, I have, in Baraboo many times.
Okay, yeah. Very good.
We had that on Baraboo this week. That's in Milwaukee. And if I'm not mistaken, Lori, aren't you by Appleton?
I'm in Appleton right now as we speak.
Hey, Lori, hey, you want to know how deep Wisconsin I am? Hey, I worked in Appleton, Oshkosh, Nina Menasha.
Well, that's awesome. Come on back.
Yeah. All right. Well, Bob, why are you mad?
Well, we're upset because, many magicians around the country use that effect as their signature effect, and they make their living on that.
Bob, BFD. Yeah, how many people...
Are you arguing the point for Lori, or what?
I'm just trying to get something going.
Yeah, we'll
here.
Who is the magician, Mike?
Don, I am.
Don.
Yes. Now, Don, if you had a magic show and you were going out to the schools and you walked up on stage and you pulled out your dye box and the kids yelled, "Hey, there's a shell." Or you pull out your box and they yell,
"Right, here's okay,
a
listen, Bob, here's the deal, though.
I don't want anybody pulling their boxes out in front of my kids.
And frankly, Lori, you should be handling this part of the argument, but I'll be glad to step in. Bob,
oh,
here's...
Oh, no, I just didn't know I was going to get a chance to talk again.
Oh, anytime you want. Anytime you want. You
jump in. I want to jump in. You know, seriously, I feel, Bob, you know the way I feel about this and what's making me mad?
What?
I don't know.
Bob, here's I do have a point on this, Bob,
right,
that if you're doing a show for little kids... Well, that's fine. Let them not know all the stuff that we know. But when you get past that, where you're performing for adults, why not? I mean, it doesn't ruin it for me knowing that there's a false back in a box and that there's twins involved and there's misdirection. I still like the show. I like the mystery.
But doesn't that take the mystery out of it?
What does it matter?
Is the mystery the performance?
Bob, as someone who practiced magic, I loved magic.
An art form founded in dishonesty.
And Bob, may I
tell me that when you went to a magic shop and you open up a pack of tricks that you just paid $30 for... And you were reading over the directions, and somebody leaned over your shoulder and read it.
Okay, Bob.
Are you upset?
Bob, maybe I was. Let me just
give
you a quick...
Hey, you know what he is? Yeah. He's got you there, though.
But let me give you a quick...
You'd be upset if that happened.
But let me just respond to that. I would be upset, Bob, because that would have happened. I would have been in that magic store when I was 12 years old.
Oh, that is not true.
That is...
Our medium age of our club is in their 50s.
Well, I ain't in your club, pal.
We can solve this.
Yeah, but you've got to be 40.
When was
I'm
the last 40,
time? I'm 45. Sir.
When was the last time you bought a trick?
Don or Bob?
I'm asking Don. When's the last time you bought a trick in a magic shop?
How come even where he knows where there is? There are even secrets.
Oh, come on. Hey, listen, now don't make me you disappear, because I can't by hanging up on you. And I'll tell you for a fact, the last time I bought a trick was in February when I was at Disney World at the Magic Shop in Orlando.
There you go.
And what trick was that?
Yeah, what's the trick that you bought?
Yeah.
What was the trick?
I bought a card trick, and I bought a ball trick. Now, what, are you trying to embarrass me here? I bought a card trick, I bought a ball trick, and I'll tell you what else I do. After I perform the tricks, I show people how I did them.
You did?
I did, and I do.
Well, then you're a Penn and Teller lookalike.
I love Penn and
Teller. Are you part of the talking one, or are you part of the silent guy?
I'm the silent guy, even though I'm talking right now.
Now
I'm
Lauren,
the guy that likes to do
it. Now, that trick that you bought at the shop, was that a hovering card, a card that floated in the air?
Now, why do you need to know about...
Was that the one that was used?
It was not a hovering card.
Oh, okay.
Hey, wait a minute. We had a guy in here We had a guy that was in here the other day that did the hovering card trick. How does that work?
See? Now, there you go. What makes it appealing is the fact...
Now, Lori, you have to jump in and just tell this guy he's going to... Lori, go ahead. Jump in, Lori.
I disagree with that. And the reason why I can disagree with that is because the world-renowned Pendragons, Jonathan and Charlotte Pendragon, just performed for us last night at the Lawrence University Theater here in Appleton.
Right.
And their signature move is Metamorphosis. And I was totally amazed, awed, and blown away by them performing that. And they did it in literally a second. If you would have
betcha,
Lori,
you would have missed it.
Yeah.
And my wonderment and awe of Metamorphosis.
Yeah.
You can help.
I know how it's
tough, but I'll still fool you with what you think you know. And that's exactly
hey,
right.
Dude. Hey, dude. Hey,
Dragon,
a good line.
Hey, Amazing Bob.
Case, which what you're exposing.
Amazing Bob.
Doing the trick that you're showing.
Amazing Bob, if we could just have a reality check for one moment.
Sure.
That I love everything involved with magic, but may I tell you, sir,
you want to see a metamorphosis, all of you? Miss an alimony payment.
Can I just say, Bob, and I know you know this, Bob, it's not really magic, Bob. You're just playing tricks.
Well, there's not a Santa Claus either, but we don't tell people that.
Hey! But that's it. You're off the show.
You are banned, Bob.
That's it, Bob. What do you say to the 2 million kids that are listening right now? Crying.
Heartless.
You know what, Bob? Bob, because of that.
It's okay to show Houdini's legacy, but
because of that.
About Santa Claus.
Bob,
what an incredible, heartless human being you are.
Bob, because of that, we will spend the rest of our show giving people detailed directions, not only on how to do the metamorphosis trick, but how to build the contraption themselves at home.
You are a heartless man, Bob Rath.
Heartless.
You have felt the wrath of Don and Mike.
You know,
there is no Santa Claus. Oh, my God.
How about, but what I'm saying, as soon as you take the air out of the balloon, what's left but the lady?
Lori, what do you have to say to the amazing Bob Rath?
What I have to say, Bob, is that my wonderment and my love for the art of magic has grown because I know the secret of that trick. Because
Lori, get
just
to
because
Washington.
I know how to
seriously.
Sing, how to I have the music to going my way doesn't mean that I can sing it like Sinatra.
Lori, have you ever wanted
Lori,
to work for a trade
Lori,
association?
Let me ask, how many
because I know how the metamorphosis is
how many
done
kids, 12
doesn't
years old,
mean that
God.
I can do it just like Houdini did it. And
Lori,
the beauty
kids,
of this is it's
old,
all about the art of the performer and the presentation and the talent.
And now it's just what we had hoped for.
Lori, how many kids can spell metamorphosis? How are they going to do a Google search if they can't even spell them?
Hey Bob, how many
a gurgle, sir?
Hey Bob, how many kids
how
can
many
how many kids can spell middle-aged loser?
122,000 hits.
Hey, why don't you
for
go
Metamorphosis?
Out, everybody, I urge all the kids in the audience, go out and see the amazing Bob Rath, because at the end of his show, he makes Christmas disappear.
Man, I'm just telling you, when they tell us that you can go on Google and find the Metamorphosis secret,
you
that
can.
Is a fallacy. There's
Buzz,
122 hits, and first
Buzz, would you go on Google right now?
And
hold on, Buzz. Hey, Bob.
And goes on a bus and goes to a library and finds a book and goes to the table of contents.
Now, listen, hold on. Bob, I want to tell you something.
Yes.
Magic is one thing.
Yes.
But you brought up another name. Here is Darla calling from New York. Just for you, Bob. We're a national syndicated, remote, coast-to-coast regional show.
Syndicated.
Daria?
Sharla.
Sharla. Well, it starts with a
is
D
this
on...
Is Charlotte Pendragon?
Starts with a D on my screen. You wanted to yell at Bob, didn't you?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Charlotte,
you can't yell at me.
Yes, he can, Bob.
I'm just saying that my kids are listening. We listen daily. And there is a Santa Claus.
There he is.
How do you feel now, Bob? How do you feel now, Bob?
That's what I'm trying to tell you. The same feelings towards Santa Claus,
God,
towards
idiot.
The magic trick.
Well, you know what? Santa's not bringing you anything this year, Bob.
Thank
you.
Bring me a metamorphosis.
Thank you for the call, whatever your name. I'm sorry I screwed up your name. And, Bob, how dare you?
See, guys, this is exactly it. Why can't we talk about exposure of magic, but we can't talk about the exposure of a holiday?
Oh, my God, you just
bastard.
Won't let it go.
Yeah. You bastard.
You, I tell you, you are playing with fire, Bob Rath.
Bob, I want to tell you something. We are going to devote the rest of this show today to exposing all of Houdini's tricks.
Amen, brother.
And every simple trick, I will start, Rob.
And you know why? Because St. Nicholas told us to.
Would you give me a coin, Rob?
I have
it. You have a quarter, Mike? You got a quarter on you?
No.
Are you going to teach him how to do a French drop now?
A French drop? Now you're getting dirty.
No, I am not.
My God. Lori, I apologize. I didn't think Bob would take it to this level.
I need a coin. I need a coin very badly. No, I would need my funny cards to do a card trick.
Here's a penny.
You got a penny?
Yeah.
Okay.
Now we're playing with pennies.
Oh, wait, I have a quarter. Do you need a quarter?
Yes, I do, if you have it.
I just felt it.
Yes, I do, if you have it.
I'm sorry.
And, Lori, you can jump in anytime you like here.
I can.
Buzz, how are we doing on the Google search?
Yeah, I see it listed a number of times here, and I have the explanation of the trick.
It's a Gurgle search.
Yes.
You have the explanation.
So here's the trick. Watch, Mike, here's the trick. See this quarter? I'm going to put it into this hand. Now, I want you to blow on that hand. What happened?
I would just like to say...
Hold on. What happened to the quarter?
It disappeared.
Where do you think it went?
In your other hand.
Up your sleeve.
Ha ha.
Oh, they're both gone.
Ha ha.
Wait a minute.
Ha ha.
Oh, I just took it out of my mouth.
Now that's one
pretty amazing,
heck of a trick.
Yeah.
Look at that. Hey, I got you.
I love magic on the radio.
Yeah, except you shouldn't put money in your mouth.
I think it had iodine on it.
The real trick is that it was Mike's twin.
Don?
Yes.
And Buzz?
Don, are you a member of any organizations?
I'm a member of the I Hate Magicians Who Take It Too Seriously Incorporated.
Hey, fellas?
Yeah, Lori.
I would just like to say that this exhibit is about so much more than metamorphosis. Metamorphosis is such a small part of the exhibit. It's a biography of Houdini's life and times. It's very interactive.
Listen, Lori.
It's an appreciation for Houdini's physical strength and talent.
You are the winner. And Buzz, I'm gonna ask you to help us end this segment.
All right.
If you wouldn't. You found the instructions?
I do. I have them, yes.
And now, and Bob, I want you to listen to this. Listen to this music.
Okay.
We got nothing better than Andy Williams. I mean, I know it's June.
Happy holidays.
But this is for that Santa Claus comment.
Very good.
Buzz, can you please tell us, how do you do the metamorphosis trick, the Harry Houdini metamorphosis trick?
Houdini's assistant was his wife, and she would chain shut the trunk that he got into, the steamer trunk. He slips out of the trick handcuffs he's wearing inside the trunk, pulls out a knife, and cuts out a false panel while she's raising a curtain, which has the audience's attention. He escapes while she claps three times and goes behind the curtain. By this time, he's standing next to the trunk. He opens the trunk, and there's his wife. They used that panel, which he pried open with the knife,
for her to get in.
And as the woman from the museum said, it's a tribute to how fast they could do this, because they did this in like 2 seconds.
And Bob, you know who loved that trick the best? Santa Claus. Anything else, Bob?
Yes, you got to understand that all magicians are bounded by a code of ethics.
Uh-huh. You know, come on,
we
please.
We do not expose any effects to be in good standing.
And really, who'd you take this oath with, Bob?
Bob, you also have to understand that the museum community is also bound by a code of ethics, and we have a mission and a code of ethics that we have to follow.
That's right, Lori.
Educational in...
Yeah.
And we are... It is not in our mission to not go ahead and share the story in its entirety.
That's
so
right.
Just sharing the story.
And I think that's all you need to know.
All right, and I'd like to send this one out to both Bob and Lori for a spirited debate.
Great job. Thank you both for joining us on the phone. Oh, but before we go, there's another call for Bob, the amazing Bob Rath. Hello, Bob. Dustin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had my kid in the backseat crying because of this jerk, Bob.
Yeah.
I think you need to do a magic trick on him and make him disappear from your show.
Well, have your kid listen to the barking dogs.
Your kid will like that.
Right.
Just don't tell them they're not real dogs. They're just a sound effect. Yeah. Don't ruin it for your kid.
Well, he already ruined my kid's day, so.
There you go. Well, how about that for a trick, Bob? You made millions of children unhappy today.
Well... All I gotta say is the same thing with the magic tricks. You take the air out of the balloon and all you got is the latex.
No, what you have is the art of the performer. That's what you have. And the skill of the performer and the wonder of the performer.
I guess for now you two will have to agree to disagree.
Let me just say, the amazing Bob Rath, and that's how he has to be referred to, he is simply amazing.
Yeah. He is.
Lori, you're spectacular. Lori, of course, you won this. Incidentally, Lori, congratulations, you won the debate.
Yes, it was going almost a tie until Bob brought Santa Claus into it.
And Lori, congratulations, you've won a 7-Eleven Big Bite and the Super Big Gulp prize pack, including the $25 7-Eleven convenience card.
You could buy some
terrible. The Green Bay Packers in that gift package.
Yes, I'm sure they have Packers stuff at 7-Eleven. Stop by 7-Eleven for a Big Bite all beef quarter pound hot dog and a Super Big Gulp of ice cold Coca-Cola.
Yeah.
Oh, thank heaven. And Bob, for you, we have coal in your stocking.
Thank you both.
Take it.
Yes. So, goodbye, you two.
Goodbye. Thank you. Thank
goodbye.
You.
Goodbye.
Yeah.
There you go.
So anyway,
that was spirited.
Yeah.
That's how we do a nerd on nerd counterpoint.
Uh-huh. And that's something, that's a serious issue, unlike that war everybody talks about.
Yeah.
Come on now.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure.
Oh, are you going to show them the French drop? What was the trick that you bought? Yeah.
The elevated card.
I'll tell you the trick. Maybe I'll bring it in tomorrow. I'm going to have to practice it for a couple
of days. I love it when you do magic. That.
But the trick is, and it really is a great trick.
And it's always good. Whenever you do your magic from now on, have Joe in here every time, because at least you'll fool one person.
Yeah, look, Mike, I can fool you on this if I practice over the weekend in the mirror. Because here's the trick. When I do it, I'll do it. And then if I fool you, well, either way, I'll show you how it
works. Okay, very good.
But you start with the thing where you say, pick a card, any card out of the deck.
Right.
And, of course... You've already selected which card it is that you're going to be selecting.
Right.
You just don't know it.
Okay, you sort of make sure that I select it.
So you select that card and I say, now.
How do you do that?
Boy. It takes a long... You got one, it's almost like palming. You've got two cards on top, and it looks like you're picking up just one card, and you've really got the other card underneath.
Oh.
So while I say, Mike, hey, look at that picture of Colin Farrell. You know, you don't notice it. You could do anything. There are two cards there.
Right.
Say, pick
hey, your card just fell out.
Oh, that was a post-it.
Not a real card.
Not
an actual card.
Anyway, the trick is, whatever card it is that I've given you the the appearance of choosing on your own.
Right.
We then take that card, mm-hmm. we rip it up, we set it on fire, we do all this stuff that has nothing to do with the trick.
Right.
And then, amazingly, after I pretend that I can't make the card appear anywhere,
mm-hmm.
you look into your pants pocket.
Right.
And in your pants pocket...
Is the card?
No, it's absolutely nothing. And then I say, well, look in your shirt pocket.
Okay.
There's absolutely nothing. And then I say...
Well, that's not true, though.
What? Oh, well, because you have the... You
Mary
have
Mary Rabbit's...
Yeah, Mary Rabbit, huh? Oh, rabbit out of his pocket.
Anyway, it ends up... The card turns gigantic.
Oh.
The card turns gigantic.
Hallelujah.
You know, it turns like into one of those big Charlie cards. It's like on... Remember on Card Shark?
Yeah.
Remember that?
That's a great trick.
And then I will show you how I will turn into a woman. Like Silence of the Lambs. Just with a simple tuck.
Anyway, I'll practice the trick. I'll bring it in.
Okay.
I'll bring it in.
And bring the ball trick in, too.
I'll show you how easy it is to do all of them.
The fuzz balls?
Oh, the ball. You mean the balls and cups.
Right. And then I will drink a bottle of iodine.
And then Buzz and I will do metamorphosis.
We will be...
Voila.
Yeah, hey there. And Buzz, thank you for the quick work on the Google there.
Certainly.
Or as the guy called it, the what did he call it?
Gurgle.
The gurgle. Gurgle. Yeah. Gurgles.
A gurgle, sir.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
You know, it's a funny kind of a thing, but you know, I feel better after I got all that off my chest. I feel like a load. A load is off my shoulders. You're good. Doc, thank you.
Mr. Beatty, I didn't do anything.
Oh, you did something?
No, I did nothing.
You did something?
I didn't.
The load? Gone. Where is it? Don't know. You're good. Nah. You're good, Doc. You're good. I'm going to be getting in touch with you.
Don't, please.
Oh, just one more thing. If I talk to you and you turn me into a fag, I'm going to kill you. You understand?
Could we define fag? Because some feelings may come up.
I don't fag, you die.
The Don and Mike Show. Now, in their 20th season, it's the Don and Mike Show.
Right. Well, here are Joe's tapes here. Also want to tell you that no one has called yet for Robbie's beeswax back hair. Rob is upset. He said in the very beginning of the show he'd like to give the hair away.
I'm sorry, Rob.
If you want the hair, call.
Right.
I'm not even going to give out the phone number because you got to be pathetic to want Rob's back hair.
You have to know the phone number.
You got
to
know the number.
They're out there.
So if you want Rob's back hair in a towel, is it in a towel or a bag?
It's in a towel and you can keep the towel.
Did they get to keep the towel?
Yeah,
so you could have the hair, launder the towel, and use it forever.
Call now. Phone Jeopardy.
How are they going to lose it?
Call now for Phone Jeopardy. A couple of days ago on the show, when we were mentioning disc jockeys and guns.
Right.
I got, hold on, here's, I think we
can I tall guy that doesn't golf?
Here you go, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
I want that hair.
You want that hair? What's your name?
This is Pete.
Pete, where are you from?
Wichita.
Why do you want, Wichita, KFH-FM.
Right.
That's our station. Why do you want Robbie's hair from his back?
Rob's my hero. I want hair like his.
All right, Rob.
If I could transplant that onto my head, I could be like Rob.
Could I hold off for another caller?
Yeah.
That acceptable?
Yeah, I would.
No.
You're creeping me out.
Yeah, he's not going to put it on his head.
It's not right. Mike,
he's not grateful enough.
The first caller is the first caller. I think he'll do wonderful stuff with Rob's hair.
Okay, but if he makes a voodoo doll, I'm going to be pissed.
I think he's going to plant the hair.
Password is Merkin.
Your hair fibers are going to be all over the United States.
I think what you do is go on a crime spree.
Apparently, Mr. Spiewak killed all these people.
Absolutely. Look at that. His hair is all over that car. Not only did he murder her, he shed.
All right, do you promise to treat Rob's back hair with the love and affection it so richly deserves?
Respect.
With all my heart.
All right, you win. Hold on a second.
There he goes.
Rob, you can sleep better tonight. Your back hair, lasered off, has been given away.
And look at that. Look at all those people now that want his hair.
Well, too bad. First come, first serve.
Slackers.
Suckers. So, disc jockeys and guns. We were discussing this the other day. And I got an email from Ray City Zoller. His name is, that was his DJ name.
Ray City Zoller?
Well, that's when the Bay City Rollers were out.
Wow.
Ray City Zoller.
Oh, no.
Anyway, the guy sent me an email and said, hey, I got an MP3 of your show when you guys were talking about guns.
Uh-huh.
And he said, do you ever remember the best Don Cox gun story ever? And I don't think I have ever told this one. Cox on the radio, 13Q in Pittsburgh, 1970. 5.
70 boom.
Yeah. No, I mean, I'm really trying to think. It's
Comics constant campaign.
It would be 76, maybe, because I was just old enough to drive, 16.
Okay.
So I'm in Pittsburgh. Oh, and he remembered something that had nothing to do with guns. He said, do you remember the time that Cox sent you out to get 50 birthday cakes? And I said, yeah. And he said, why did he have you do that? And I said, I don't know. But I really went like to a million different grocery stores and bought 50. He needed 50 birthday cakes.
What did he do them with?
I don't know.
What did he do with them?
I brought them to his house, and that was it. I don't know.
No one will ever know what he did with the birthday target practice.
And he's dead now. Don Cox is dead, so who knows what he was doing. But I mentioned that...
cholesterol was way up.
I had told you about the story about driving past the program director's house and firing the gun.
Right.
Ray City Zolder sent me an email that reminded me the best Don Cox gun story ever. I've been working in Pittsburgh for maybe 3 weeks, and this guy was so great to me. Took me under his wing, and, you know, I mean, I got a Pennsylvania driver's license. My car was registered in Pennsylvania. I did no paperwork.
Yeah, very good.
He got me a gun permit. I didn't own a gun. He said, hold on to it anyway.
Just in case.
I mean, I told you this guy was great. He got me an apartment.
Right.
I didn't have a telephone at the time. I was 16. What do I know? They would give out stuff on the... I'd listen to the radio on the weekend. And I've told this a million times, and I would hear... Hey, Fun Loving 13Q, I understand there's a big party at Don Cox's house this weekend, and Don Geronimo's over there having a fantastic time. That would be my cue
invitation
to go to Don Cox's house.
And he knew you were listening all
of
the time.
Of course, because I didn't have a telephone, because I was a dumb kid making $300 a week. Anyway, Ray Zolder sends me to Don and says, the best was the time that he took you hunting.
And you went hunting?
Well, I was young and impressionable.
Right.
And we went hunting. Now, it's hard to go hunting.
You're like the most anti-hunting person I know.
Mike, I was 16. And I was hanging out with the big boys.
Sure. Yeah.
Now, I am amazed I've never told this story, but thank you to Ray for reminding me. He was one of the guys that was there.
Okay.
There was about 5 or 6 disc jockeys. We're all going to go out somewhere out by Mount Washington. For those of you listening to us, we're out in Pittsburgh now, up by Mount Washington.
Were you wearing a big Elmer Fudd hat?
I don't, you know, I was probably dressed in like a Pittsburgh Pirates shirt or something.
Right.
You know,
right.
And all the rest of the guys are 10, 15, 20 years older than me.
Right.
We drive up, and what it is Cox has just got a bunch of shotguns. And it's shooting animals. Go ahead, have a beer, and take a shot at an animal.
Sure.
Now, I had never shot a gun in my life. I was on top of Mount Washington with Don Cox. I think the Mighty Quinn was there. I think Jim Quinn was there, maybe Banana Don was there, Ray
right.
City Zolder was there. We're a real tight staff at 13Q.
Cool.
Everybody's taking a chance shooting. How ridiculous. It's my turn. I've never fired a gun. And Don Cox says, because I say, I don't want to kill an animal. I don't think I can. I can't. He said, listen, just shoot at that tree.
Yeah.
Just see if you can hit that tree.
There you go.
And I took the gun, and whatever it was, the thing that you cock back.
Yeah.
Anyway, I fired a shot, and the thing,
like a pump shotgun.
Yeah, the thing knocked me on the ground and dislocated my shoulder.
Ouch!
Dislocated my shoulder, and I had 5 grown men laughing. Look, because I was on the
and
ground.
And you were in agony.
I was on the ground, like, ow, ow, like crying. And they were like, it's the recoil or whatever it is. Like,
yeah.
You didn't know now you're a dumb kid. You're a dumb kid. I'm like, ow, this hurts.
Yeah.
But you know what? It's not that they made me do it. It was peer pressure.
Mm-hmm.
With a separated shoulder, I have no tolerance for pain. But I jumped up and said, let me try again.
Sure.
Right? So I try
not
again.
Not knowing it was in that kind of shape.
Try. Now, I've already done this one time. I've already fired this gun one
right.
time. Same thing. Boom! On the ground again. And they are laughing their asses
off.
Anyway, that was all. That's all.
Well, what? Did you go to the hospital later?
Yeah.
And
it was Ray City Zolder that took me to the hospital. When we got back to the radio station, I remember saying something to Don Cox, like, man, my shoulders. And he's like, son, don't even worry about it. I'll see you tomorrow. What time are you going to come by the house? I'll see you by. Meanwhile,
drives off and you're in agony.
I'm like, really, my shoulder's hanging down.
Sure.
And I said, you know, to Ray Zolder, I said, God, I've never even fired a gun before. I'm scared as...
Don't hurt me.
I don't know. He said, come on, I'll take you to the hospital.
Well, it could have been worse. You could have shot one of the other disc jockeys.
Let's go to the hospital. I wish.
That would have been horrible.
I wish.
Yeah.
You know, back then at that station, there were no... It was an odd station. There were no station politics. Everybody liked everybody.
Very, very good for fun.
Except they were all petrified of Don Cox.
And he was the fearless leader.
He had all the guns.
Absolutely.
They're terrified of him.
Yeah, everybody was terrified of him. I told you the night that...
He wouldn't just fire you, he'd shoot you.
I told you the night, he did 2 to 6 afternoons, I did 6 to 10 at night. He would come and hang around before I was done, and then we'd go out and go carousing, do whatever we were going to do. One night he comes in and he says, hey, boy... You know, and he had that Shannon thing, that Southern thing. Mm. You know, hey, boy, you ever wonder how much money everybody around here is making? I guess. He said, you want to see? Come on back here. I got a record on. And we're in the radio station. There's nobody there.
Right.
You go back. He's broken into the general manager's office. The guy's name is Steve Crane. I think the guy still is in the radio business. He might work for Nationwide Broadcasting. Anyway... I realize Don Cox has broken into this guy's office, and he has opened a file cabinet that's locked, and he's showing me. He says, hey, look at this. Look how much. And he starts telling me, you want how much Quinn is making? Take a look at this. And once we got past...
These were disc jockeys working under him.
Yes. And
he was the program director.
Oh, no. Don Cox was not the program director.
Oh, he wasn't the program director.
No. Because once we got past how much the disc jockeys were making and how bad we felt that we were all so poorly paid, we looked and he said, you want to know how much Savage is making? That was the program director whose house he shot out.
Right.
I said, I'd love to know.
Sure.
And at the time, I think we were making about 20, 25, 22, something like that a year.
Right.
Program director's making $60,000 a year.
Wow.
$60,000 a year. And I can't believe this. I'm looking at all these papers in the general manager's office, and I go, oh, crap, my record's running out. I'll be right back. So I got to leave the studio, go down the hall, come back, and by this time, we know what everybody makes. You know what everybody at the station makes.
And how did it make you feel?
I felt, listen, I was happy.
Right.
I've always loved radio. I love radio now with you guys. I loved radio back then. I love it. I love being around. I do it for nothing. So I was not caught up in money back then. Everything was gravy. And for the longest time then afterwards, because the story would get out that, you know, I would mention to somebody, oh, Cox came in last night. Man, do you know he broke into Steve's office? I mean, I would mention it to this jockey. He broke, and it never got back to the boss, but every once in a while, when we would be standing around, the program director would come by and go, hey, what are you guys doing? And Cox would say something like, I don't know, how far do you think it is from here to India? Is there some location? I go, I don't know, what do you think? You go, I think it's about 60,000 miles. How about you?
Yeah, because what's the fun of knowing if you don't drop a hint once in a while?
It.
So and would the PD get it?
No. And with everybody, like with the general manager, and we knew the general manager made $90,000 a year. Cox would say stuff around him. He wouldn't say 90,000, but he'd say, we'd just be sitting around. It was one of those things where the disc jockeys would hang out at the station all the time.
Right.
No one had any social life.
Right.
You'd be hanging around the station at 5 o'clock on Friday. Cox is on the radio. I'm getting ready to do my shift. Ray's there, the guy that's on after me. Craig's there, the guy that's on the midday. And the general manager would walk out. And he'd say something like, you guys think, what do you think you could do this weekend? We'll watch the Steelers. Cox would always say, like, you know who I like for the Steelers? I don't know his name. Number 90. And he was constantly throwing this out.
I bet the GM just loved him.
Because
everybody would be smirking, right? And the GM wouldn't know why you guys were smirking.
Except we didn't have the balls to openly smirk.
Right,
so it was like... It was like hidden,
and then he'd leave, and then you'd go, ah!
He would leave, and he'd go, you believe that boy's making 90 grand? You believe that? And then it would always be something like, I'm going to clear 90 grand this weekend. Hell, you know, and that's walking around money. That's walking around money. And Don Cox is also the guy that taught me how to drive a stick shift.
Right.
I never did. When I got to Pittsburgh, I was driving
Wasn't that the second time you separated your shoulder?
Ow! Fourth gear. I get to Pittsburgh, I have my big Smokey and the Bandit Trans Am, you know, because I'm a cool guy. One of the first things he says to me is, oh, son, we got to get rid of that car. That car is not, I'm going to handle it. I'm going to get you the car. You got a title on this car? What do you got? I'm going to get you a deal. Whatever you're paying, you're going to pay less. You're going to
you love upside down in this car, son?
You're going to love the car that I get you. I got a friend, and I swear to God, he's out by the airport.
Yes, really. It just came in.
How gullible am I? I go out to the airport. It's an MG, a little tiny sports car.
Right.
I've seen them. I've no desire to drive it. Cox says, this is your car, man. This car is you.
It just came in. It just came in from Philadelphia.
Well, I say, okay, great, I'll take it.
Uh-huh.
And we get into the car, and I realize, oh, crap, I don't know how to drive a shift.
Oh.
He says, all right, I'll drive you home. I tell you what, I'll pick you up at 2 a.m. 2 a.m.? What's going on? Turns out, best way to learn how to drive a stick. He took me to
2 a.m.? Nobody's around.
Right. Downtown Pittsburgh. Middle of the night, all of the lights flashing red,
right.
And that's where I learned. He said, okay, start, you know, I still remember to this day, started in first, boy, started in first. Now.
You started in fourth gear, you got a world of hurt.
Now, ease up on that bad boy. Now, just slide right into second. Now, hold it, you made me spill my drink. God damn it, you're going to make me spill my drink.
And that drink was like bourbon and Coke.
Yes, of course it was, but that's the Don Cox story. I still
that's
don't know.
One of your favorite guys. You speak very fondly of him.
Oh, he was the greatest. And I still don't know why he sent me out for 50 birthday cakes.
Yeah, that's what. Wouldn't you love to know, though?
Yeah, because that one I can't figure out anything spooky about. Because I told you, he would send me sometimes, I'd show up at the station, and he'd say, I need you to go to the bank for me today.
Okay.
And I'd say, okay. And he would give me a lunch bag with money and say, go to the bank and deposit this. They're going to give you some more money. Just bring it back.
He was one of one of your mentors, but you just don't know how many people he killed.
I don't think Don Cox had a good heart. I don't think he intentionally killed anybody.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. But who
not
knows?
If they paid. If they paid on time.
You know, the money.
But they put the money in the bag. You were his bag man.
I believe I was.
Wow. Unwitting bag man.
Unwitting bag man. And who knows what he was doing with the 50 cakes.
Yeah.
But I forgot about the shotgun. I forgot about that dislocating the shoulder.
Why do I just
slice?
Picture 50, you know, Stewart eyes just sitting in his house. Oh, it's our birthday. All of them naked.
Cox on the radio.
And now, unfortunately, on the other side, regretfully on the other side of the dirt.
Yeah. But the last, I'm sorry, I'm waxing nostalgic here, but the best thing, he's the guy that told me I was getting fired.
Mm-hmm.
Right. He's the guy that told me I was getting fired from 13Q.
Yeah. And that's when you put on Already Gone.
Gave me the heads up, so I had another job.
Mm-hmm.
And on Sunday, when I knew they were going to fire me on Monday, when there's no one at the station, I said, hey, listen, I got some information. I'm out of here. I love you, Pittsburgh. I'll see you soon on 13Q. And played Already Gone and then left.
Uh-huh.
And left. And I had the
pleasure.
With
a big paper bag full of money.
I wish.
And an MG.
I had the pleasure of hearing the record run out on the air, and
that's
then about
cool.
30-40 minutes of dead air as I drove out of town.
Now, wasn't he the guy that when you told your mom that you'd hit the deer when you had the
Mike, that's
guy?
Joe Pesci.
Oh,
that's
I'm
Goodfellas.
Sorry. Oh, okay.
This is Cox on the radio.
He's
a totally different guy. Joe's tapes.
Yes.
Crap,
the cicadas.
I promise that. We will do
the Cicada
that.
Chronicles.
If we break now, we can do that when we come back, and we'll still have time for Buzz's news and comments.
Mm-hmm.
Brian, Don and Mike show. Hello, Brian.
Yes.
Brian, what?
You know, you mentioned that you found the payroll for your radio station.
Yeah, and I want to say, yeah, I looked at it. It was Don Cox that had done it, although
right,
I've certainly done my share of snooping.
I recently came across, I requested my W-2s, and the guy at my HR sent me the entire company's W-2s in a PDF file.
Wow. Was it fun? Did you enjoy it?
I felt like a god for a moment, yeah.
Now,
I felt alive.
The people
and there were certain people that you loved more after that, and then people that you really hated.
Yes, I'm conflicted. It's a blessing and a curse.
Yeah.
Right. Thank God I wasn't really old enough to get all of that.
It's the same thing like if you were ever to spy on people, you know, and leave a tape recorder around, you'll find out what they're saying about you. I mean, you'll feel empowered, but you'll also feel like bummed out.
Oh, where's that Jerry Seinfeld tape? That George Costanza.
I heard.
That's the best thing ever. Mm-hmm. Now, I would never have the guts to do it, but I've thought about it.
Sure.
How great it would be after, like, you're in a meeting or...
And you've heard about program directors, speaking of PDs, that, wired offices with...
That was something that was quite often accepted as normal practice, that the program director... Mm-hmm. Would be taping you without your consent.
Sure, and then listen to us. Say, hey, let's see what they're saying about me.
Yeah, right.
You have any peppered vodka?
You got it, Robbie. Hold on. It's
Hold on.
Here you go. Right. And...
Seinfeld,
Fredo's
tape recorder.
Got it.
There it is.
Is this genius or what?
If you really want to test him out, why don't you try the old Jerry Lewis trick?
Jerry Lewis?
I heard when Jerry Lewis left a meeting, he'd purposely leave a briefcase with a tape recorder in it. Then after 5 minutes, he'd come back for it, listen to what everyone said about him.
That's pretty paranoid.
Yes, it is.
I like it.
Who would have the guts to do that, though?
Jerry Lewis.
Yeah, well, okay. Besides,
hey, lady.
Besides Jerry. We'll be right back with Joe's Cicada Tape, finally.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
But before y'all get to beaming me up, there's a couple things I want you to understand. First off, you chose me, so you recognize the skills. And I don't want nobody calling me son or kid or sport or nothing like that, cool?
Cool, whatever you say, Slick, but I need to tell you something about all your skills. As of right now, they mean precisely dick.
The Don and Mike Show.
Wah, bah, bah, loom, bah, 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 bah,
bah, bah, bah, bah, bah, bah, bah.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-265-3636. They're ready to believe.
Right.
Dr. James Davis.
Hey, hello.
Is it the Don and Mike Show? You bet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you, Dude Walker. We will finally hear the rest of Joe's Cicada Tape.
Yay.
Yesterday and the day before, we heard segment one and segment two.
Mm-hmm.
We now move to segment three.
Oh, and these are chronological, so I should point out that as the hour gets later, Joe gets more departed.
Mm-hmm. Thing, you know, as the numbers get smaller, the hits get bigger.
And as of segment two, he hadn't even gone outside yet, right?
Right.
He was actually calling his friend. So this past weekend,
second
for the
moonshine.
17th anniversary of the Cicadas, here is the world's oldest phone screener, Joe Ardinger. Part three of a five-part series.
Check out. One, two, one, whoa! Whoa! All right, all right, all right. We're gonna check it out. Check test 1 2 1 2 1 2.
All right.
I think we're recording, and we're definitely. If we're not recording, we're pouring. Here you go. This is a wicked shot of vodka, and I wouldn't want to. You know. Wait a minute. I gotta do this right.
Uh-huh.
All right, I wouldn't want to do this without my friend Rob Spiewak. So let me see what I got.
You're gonna try to call.
What
Rob.
I'm doing, and I want to explain this because it's like 1:30 in the morning. It's 1:30 in the morning, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, you know, hold on. We're not doing this chronologically because Buzz didn't he call you before this?
At about 1:25, 1:30.
You know,
I believe.
That might have been at the end of
well, we haven't heard this.
Two.
No, I think that maybe he's messed up at that time because I don't think I got the call till 1:10.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
If my cell phone was right.
All right.
So we're still on number three, then,
I
right?
Think
so.
It is Iron India.
Check.
Big show.
1, 2, 1.
Right, let me fast forward to just a little bit.
Fun with microphone.
About to pour. Well, we hear him pouring himself a shot of vodka.
Mm-hmm. Whoa. All right, all right, all right. We're gonna check it out. Check test 1 2 1 2 1 2. I think we're recording, and we're definitely. If we're not recording, we're pouring. Here you go.
Okay, we heard this.
This is a wicked shot of vodka.
Wicked.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to. You know, wait a minute. I got to do this right. All right, I wouldn't want to do this without my friend Rob Spiewak.
Right.
Joe. Let's see what I got here.
Of course you wouldn't.
What I'm doing, and I want to explain this, because it's like 1:30 in the morning.
Please do.
1:30 in the morning, ladies and gentlemen. You can only do this if you're me. You can't do this if you're anybody else. And if you're Pat Goss, you can't do this. At 1:30 in the morning.
It's true.
You probably wouldn't even want to. Hold on. I just poured a shot of vodka like I promised before. Yum. With sugar and lime.
Oh. Sugar and lime.
Whew. I'm going to save most of that for a minute.
Did he say sugar and wine or
lime.
Sugar and lime?
Lime? Sugar and lime. He's
sugar
making himself a lime drop.
Lime and vodka. Okay.
Uh-huh.
Let's see if we can focus.
The door's on in the background.
People are strange. You heard it too.
But it's people strange. Little silly screen. What? Here. But what I'm going to do now is I'm going to push this. Wait a minute. Three. No, 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 not that.
I like the music in the background.
This, three, four.
This is Iron Gear.
All right, let's call Rob Speedback. Let's call him on the air.
Even though Joe's not on the air.
Well, but he's doing
the
show.
Oh, by the way, in the background you hear the Doors, which is cool, man.
Doors
are awesome. Doors are awesome.
Agreed. Agreed.
And that would be our classic rock station, wclassicrock.com.
He gets the call letters wrong every time.
It would be that.
It would be. Thank you, Joe. Joe? Hello, Joe?
Hold on. Okay. I know, there's a little bit of dull pause as we... They used to call it pregnant pause. Now they just call it dull pause. Dull pause. Almost sounds like a laxative. Dull pause. Oh, there it is, Rob A.
This is strange.
All right, here's what I'm doing.
What are you doing?
I've got so many wires running around here, too, but I'm going to hit this talk button, and we're going to call Rob and see what he's up to. And we're going to do this as best as we can. Hopefully we're running tape. I don't even know.
Yes, you are, Joe. This is good tape. We're playing it now.
He's so Joe.
I'll let you hear his entry, his message, if I can get it together.
He's now digging the Foreigner.
Because he's not gonna answer because it's all crazy at Rob's.
Joe.
To leave a voicemail, press 1.
I'm going to press 1.
Good, thanks, Joe.
Hey, Rob, you're live on Ardinger here. It's called Ardinger here, and you're live on it. So pick up the phone.
I can't hear that.
Because I don't have any locusts out here, or cicadas, or any of that stuff.
He's calling you on your cell at 1 o'clock in the morning, and he's wondering how come you're not picking up.
Yeah, because you're on Ardinger here.
Yeah, Ardinger here.
Pick up!
And I need a guest, real quick.
Hey, Ron.
And I don't have Don's number, so could you give me Don's number, maybe, and then I'll call him?
Well, thank God you didn't pick up.
Well, maybe not.
Good idea.
Probably a good idea. You know, you always think of the right things, Rob. Hey, thanks. I'll talk to you on Tuesday. Ardinger, out.
Hey.
But, you know, Rob's busy, and he can't be bothered with, you know, my... He can't be bothered with my 16 beers and my 2 shots of vodka.
16 there. Okay, first time.
Now,
oh, boy.
Now, this is the first...
Oh, dear.
This is the first time that we've gotten an indication...
Call the paramedics.
...of what Joe's had. 16 beers and 2 shots of vodka.
Wow.
Rob commands more. But, like I said, here goes the first shot of vodka. Here we go. And let me just take a time.
Hold on. Didn't he do a shot of vodka at the beginning of this segment?
Yeah, I believe so. Just the taste, yeah.
Okay.
Check. Because I called Rob at 1:33 a.m. And I'm still waiting for the cicadas, and they're just not out there. But we still have WCX. Oh, we have W Classic Rock something.
He's getting tired.
In the background.
No, he's fine. He's fine.
Yeah, let me turn that up.
You gonna jam to the music?
It's Foreigner.
Foreigner.
Tell me if you, if you had a chance to see Foreigner free on the street corner, would you even show up? Probably not. Anyway,
Foreigner out.
We'll be right back.
A little break.
On Washington Superstation 106.7 WJFK.
Double pro.
I just took a shot of vodka right after I said that.
Ooh-ha.
Ooh-ha.
Aren't you out on Washington, D.C. Superstation 106.7 WJFK.
Wow.
Well, that's all there is to segment number 3. Wow.
Fantastic, Joe. I love this show. You're continuing to entertain.
No, Rob, you got to look at the clock.
I know,
look at the clock.
I would forfeit.
No, Buzz.
Okay. Listen,
we would have a riot on our hands. Everybody wants the news and comments with Buzz.
We have
two more segments. Mm-hmm. All right, we'll tease it.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, we've got over 10 more minutes of this to get to.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And he's getting worse.
Here's
better.
Here, I'll give you a 30-second tease.
Okay, good.
Of segment number four.
Very good.
Here we go.
All right, now we're calling Buzz. Hello? Buzz. Hi, Buzz. It's Joe Ardinger. Hey, you're live from Joe Ardinger's backyard.
You can almost hear Buzz.
Hold on, I have to hold your...
I didn't know he made it through to you.
The microphone, hold on.
Buzz said this the other day, I think, right, Buzz?
I was awakened from a sound sleep.
All right, now, talk again.
Okay, hello, Joe.
I can hear you. That's cool. Now, you have to verify that it's like 1:35 in the morning.
Yes, you've awakened me at 1:35.
Now I'm sad.
There's the tease.
Good tease.
Yeah. But listen, I'm a Buzz coming through.
Yes, you've awakened me at 1:35.
Tomorrow, in the opening segment.
Well, who am I kidding?
Tomorrow, when we get to it.
Yeah, right. Tomorrow we'll finish it up because, you know, it's one of those things we can't sit every day on because the cicadas are going to be gone.
Yeah. This is Ardinger. And, you know, I think this is my new favorite impression of him. Check test. 1, 2. Oh, excuse me. Some of those locusts in my throat. Locusts.
In a world where owning a radio was strictly forbidden, one man found a way to bring good news to his people.
It was Buzzy.
He made it up.
Tomorrow we'll hear all of Joe's tapes.
Mic a check a check a check. Ooh, that's sweet. Here, I have to turn this up as much as I can.
Wow.
Turn this up.
They are like Lay's potato chips.
It's amazing when you have that much to drink, where certain words become different words. Turn becomes train. I have to train this up.
Buzz,
yes.
What is your lead story on that? And thank you for offering up. Look at that. Take one for the team.
Yeah.
Can you imagine the angry calls we would get here?
No, I believe the separation is perfect.
Yeah. Okay. And besides, that's why you're here, Buzz, with the news in the comments.
Well, I have prepared it.
What is your lead story today, Buzzy?
Today, the U.S. is a country with no intelligence. Chief?
All right, Chief. I get what you're doing, Chief.
Very clever, right. Chief.
Call me Chief.
Stay tuned for news and comments
coming up
on the Don and Mike Show.
Chief out. Mike, that was very...
That was very professional.
Train.
I'm just going to train this up.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
Broadcasting live from downtown Dumbass. The Don and Mike Show.
And once again, this is number one in downtown Dumbass.
I can't stop.
It's been our number one song since 1975 in downtown Dumbass.
It's such a nice town.
It's time for news and comments now with Buzz. Buzz brought to you by Smoke Break.
This is good smoke.
Smokers break the nasty habit without gaining weight. Smoke Break is the revolutionary tablet for smokers here. Available now at 5 retailers. Oh my.
This is good smoke.
And now here's Buzz with the news and comments. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. America's top spy has quit. CIA Director George Tenet, the man who gets the blame for telling President Bush Iraq had weapons of mass destruction and for not telling him there would be a 9/11, has resigned. With the election 5 months away, the president today made the announcement with the words, "I will miss him." Still quoting Bush, he told me he was resigning for personal reasons. I told him I'm sorry he's leaving. He's done a superb job on behalf of the American people.
Never mind.
And he gave one of those inspiring speeches, too. You know, he's like, he's been a good CIA director.
I will miss him.
He is a good CIA director.
Even though 50% of the people believe that I really asked him to resign to take the heat off me.
Mm-hmm. And what's the deal? Unrelated to this, why is Bush getting an attorney on his own just in case he's drawn into this thing with the CIA agent whose identity was revealed, the girl with her hair in the scarf?
Mm-hmm.
Did you hear that?
Yes.
I've been advised to make it so, and therefore I will. He was a good CIA director.
Oh, hold on, your agent, excuse me, your attorney's on the phone.
Stay cool. Stay cool.
I'd like to thank my private attorney, Donald Ephraim.
And all this talk about spies just reminds me, if I could just for a second tell you, the greatest commercial, and here's what a great commercial it is. I don't remember the product.
Okay.
Maybe Sierra Mist. I'm not sure.
Okay.
If you're like me and you love Mad Magazine, you know Spy vs. Spy?
They do the animated Spy vs. Spy?
It's like Finding Nemo type graphics.
Ooh.
For Spy versus Spy.
I love Spy versus Spy.
And I don't even remember what the commercial is. Maybe somebody can call and tell me. But it's great because the one spy walks through the door and he's got something coming at him out on the ceiling, and the other spy guy like, ha ha, I got you, and then something comes, boom, and slams him just like in Mad Magazine.
Spy versus Spy rocks.
That kicks ass.
Comes to life. Still quoting Bush, he resigned for personal reasons. Now, in his final days running the CIA, Tenet told lawmakers it'll take 5 more years to correct the problems that allowed the 9/11 attacks.
That's comforting.
Although Tenet has had health problems, we're told that's not why he's going.
That's right.
It's just gotten harder to hook up in New Jersey. It's also gotten tougher to keep a bar in business. Because thanks to one guy who just doesn't get it, it's now illegal to have a ladies' night at bars in the Garden State.
George Michael.
I don't think it's him.
David R. Gillespie didn't think it was fair that women got in free at the Coastline nightclub in Trenton and then got discounts on drinks while the guys had to pay full price for everything. What Cheapskate David didn't get, apparently, is that lower prices for women brings in women.
Right.
Puts more fish in the barrel, as it were, and helps the barkeep stay in business.
Right. You go to the bar to get laid on Wednesday night. The girls aren't going to come out. The pieces of meat won't come out. Oh, hold on a second. Here's the commercial.
Oh, good.
I'm sorry. Mike, the Spy versus Spy, what's it a commercial for?
It's a Mountain Dew commercial.
Mountain Dew.
See, I kind of retained...
Mountain Dew, I mean, continuing to make good commercials.
And it might have been a soft drink. Thank you for that. Where are you calling from?
Outside of Iowa City.
Right on. That's radio station KCJJ.
Right on!
Yeah.
You've got the Sopranos prize pack. Don't miss the season finale of The Sopranos.
Yeah.
Sunday night at 9, 8 Central. That is on HBO. Thank you, Mike. You're the first... Everybody's calling, but you're the first. Thank you.
Okay, bye.
Thanks for listening. Hold on for your prize.
So this David Gillespie, who's complaining about ladies' nights in New Jersey.
Oh, yes, it's ladies' night.
Gone stop.
And the mood is right. It's ladies' night. Oh, what a night.
Oh, what a night.
Yes, it's ladies' night.
Yeah.
And I'm feeling right.
David saw it as discrimination and got state officials to rule ladies' nights illegal. At least the governor is still sane, although powerless to override the ruling. He calls it nonsense. Turns out ladies' nights are also illegal in Iowa and Pennsylvania.
Boo. Yeah. What's up with that? Who says you can't have a ladies' night somewhere?
Discriminatory.
Virginia. How else would you get the pootie tang in there?
Exactly.
You ever see the ladies in New Jersey?
State of Virginia is kind of illegal, too. You can't discount drinks for ladies.
Really? You could let them in free on a given night or
something? Yeah, you can let them in. You can avoid a cover charge.
I see. All right.
How would you know about that?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Hank's Look Around Cafe.
Thank you. I'm changing the name.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to call it Hives.
Mike O'Mara's Hives.
Mike O'Mara's Hives.
I like that.
Just a picture of me with a big, woogie welt on my head.
Not only was Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds about LSD, there was a whole string of Beatles songs about drugs. More than people realize, reveals Paul McCartney. He says Lucy in the Sky was just so obvious.
Right.
You think?
Paul says the experimentation actually started in high school with John. He tells the British music magazine Uncut he smoked tea with John Lennon in those days.
You a pothead, Fokker?
Over the years, he says he smoked a lot of pot, had a coke habit for about a year, and even tried heroin once. This is Paul speaking. Those were the Sgt. Pepper days.
Thank you for clearing that up.
That's when they even did drugs in the studio. Turns out, Got to Get You Into My Life really is about pot.
Now, remember Rob
mentioned
this.
We talked about this.
And
right?
I was skeptical. Buzz, I read the same report today,
right?
and Paul McCartney's quote is something like...
He says a lot of people missed that one.
Yeah, like we're stupid.
Right.
Okay, so we've got it.
Yeah.
This is not like one of our gag songs.
Got to read through this.
Let's hear it.
Yeah, I want to hear it now.
I was alone, I took a ride, I didn't know what I would find.
I was alone, I took a ride, I didn't know what I would find.
Okay.
Another road where maybe I could see another kind of
maybe life. Maybe I could see another kind of life. Life there, ooh. Then I suddenly see you.
Suddenly see you, ooh. Did I tell you I need...
Now listen, as someone who...
So he's singing a song to a joint or a bag or something.
I'm imagining it's a pile of... You know, Mike, I don't now.
Right.
It's been almost 6 years.
Sure.
Well documented, but I used to.
Right.
I loved it.
Right.
Okay, I don't do it now because I know the consequences.
Right.
But I didn't love it enough that I'd write a song about it.
Well, they didn't. They sold a lot of records to pay for it.
But listen to it go on here.
Okay. You, every single day of my life.
Yeah, there's that passion.
Uh-huh. Now, I always thought he was singing about a girl, right?
Makes sense.
You knew I wanted just to hold you.
You didn't run, you didn't hide, you knew I wanted just to hold you.
Yeah, well, they were passionate about it,
What do you want to do, smoke it or smuggle it? You know what I mean?
Yeah. But don't you agree that people...
Have an intimate relationship with it?
In the day, people in those circles, when they get enthusiastic about it, I thought more than any other drug I ever saw around people, people that were into that drug were as into it as anybody could be.
And you know who introduced them to it?
Who?
Bob Dylan.
Really?
Yeah.
Bob Zimmerman.
Had you gone, you knew in time we'd meet again, for I had told you.
Wow. For I had told you.
Ooh, you were meant to be near me. Ooh.
About pot.
I want you to hear me. Say we...
How could pot hear you?
Every day.
They will be together. And Paul then says to us... You dummies didn't know this song was about pot.
But he's right.
Mm. Yeah, right.
Nobody knew.
Nobody knew.
Well, we could go on with this.
What can I do? What can I be when I'm with you? I want to stay there.
Stay there.
It's a love song.
I'm true. I'll never leave. And if I do, I know the way there.
What does that mean? The way to his dealer's house?
Ooh, and I suddenly see...
Oh, hi, Pot.
Did I tell you I need...
Oh, I need you.
Every single day,
every day
of my life.
Okay.
Let me just say to Bob Dylan, you're welcome.
Hey, that's Paul McCartney. Wow. He wrote that one. Is that one of those that has Paul and John?
Yeah.
What are you looking for?
Nothing. I was just getting you a box.
What are you guys, high?
No, hold on. I'm trying to... Here's another song. It's also about drugs.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you knew it or not.
Okay.
Probably not.
This is a song about drugs. Listen very carefully. And I don't think you'd have to be a rocket scientist to figure this one out.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Now listen to this.
Back when he was pushing.
He's a pusher.
All right, everybody. Gather around. The Candyman is here. What kind of candy do you want? Sweet chocolate? Chocolate malt? Candy? Gumdrops? Anything you want?
Yeah,
heroin?
Gumdrops.
That's all phone.
Because I'm the Candyman.
Sammy had his days with that. And Frank would talk to him.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's true.
Up all night once on Gumdrops.
He liked the white stuff. Sap.
Anyway, Paul, how funny is that?
Yeah, and pretty amazing. I mean, when you think about it, that song.
You blew the Americans didn't know.
I thought it was as pure a love song as I could have ever heard.
He's come forward about all this. In fact, remember when he got busted in Japan for pot possession?
Right, right.
He says the reason he didn't just flush it down the toilet when he anticipated getting busted, he said it was too good. Just couldn't bring himself to do it.
Now listen, here's another song. And I'm not sure what the substance is in this song, but you figure this one out.
All right.
You know, Miss Hathaway, I would like to sing, too. Yeah. And I want you to join me.
Mitchie?
Yes. I'm going to sing a song of love.
Love? Yeah. You mean platonic love, not real love.
This is real love. Just get over to that piano.
Oh, splendid.
Ladies, I'm not sure what...
I'm going to sing a song about pot.
Oh,
a love of pot. Hathaway.
I think it's about money, but it's better if you sing about pot.
You see, Ms. Hathaway, I was going to flush it down the toilet, but unfortunately it was too good.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Fake?
Yes?
Fake?
Hello?
Fake.
What?
Fake?
Fag, he says.
Fake.
Okay, hello, Don and Mike show. Well, obviously, we had a bunch of stoners calling, and they're trying to tell us other songs,
mm-hmm.
but they are incoherent always.
Right, to sing a song about flushing it down the toilet.
And one more, yeah. If you will just bear
good.
With me.
I like this.
One more song, and God knows what this is promoting. I think, like, Raid.
I don't know, but I think it's also code. You know, they are technically done. They're technically talking about a plant, and I think that's significant.
Well,
like a rose.
Like a rose.
Like a rose.
But everybody knows.
She'll get you a dozen.
Well, what happens?
Bet you better not touch.
Well, the first anti-drug song.
Exactly.
Poison Ivy, right. Better not touch.
Anti-drug.
There it is.
Who is this? Jim, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Greetings, gentlemen.
Hi, Jim.
I'd like to pass a little piece of trivia on to Rob.
Great. On to Rob.
Probably already knows.
All right, Rob.
Hey, that Candyman song.
Yeah.
Sammy Davis Jr.
Yes.
It was completed on one single take.
What? Just one take?
One take.
Well, you kind of blew the chance to stump Rob because you told him the answer.
Yeah. Hell, Rob probably knew it.
No, Rob, did you know that it was one take?
Did not know that.
So you blew it, sir. You blew
it.
Well,
you know, now that he doesn't have that hair on his back, he's probably got more blood to his brain.
Okay. Right, thank you. Hold on. Here's Ryan in Sacramento about your story about ladies' night.
Ah, good.
Ryan.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey.
Hey, we're McGee's. You guys came out a bunch of years back to do your show out at McGee's in Citrus Heights.
Right.
And a few years after that, we were doing a ladies' night and got sued by a couple of old guys in their late 60s for discrimination.
Yep.
They took us to small claims court for $1,400 apiece and claimed that their civil rights had been violated. And
how nuts is that? You would think a 60-year-old guy would get some Viagra and be happy that there are chicks in the bar.
Yeah. You can't figure people out in the bar.
And hold one more. Jimmy in Las Vegas. Jimmy.
Hey, what's happening?
Hey.
Hey, you guys forgot the most important song.
What?
Rick James. Mary Jane.
Oh, Mary Jane.
Mary Jane, right.
Yeah.
And that's why they're the Mary Jane girls.
Mary Jane girls, right.
Well, you know that. You know how it is.
I'll tell you a good one, and I'm really dating myself, and I have been dating myself for years now, and I love me.
You enjoy it because you always get yourself home on time.
Do you remember Wildwood Weed by Jim Stafford?
Yes, I do. Yes. Yeah, that was he was into it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I guess so.
And what were those spiders and snakes?
Mm-hmm. And what about my girl?
Yeah,
Bill.
My girl Bill.
Uh-huh. My girl Bill.
Druggy.
But you'll have to find another, because she's my girl. Bill.
You a pothead, Stafford?
Oh, no. I pass on crap. I pass on crap, Mr. Walker.
You know, they still sell pot at the Jim Stafford Theater in Branson.
Yeah, right. You get a
right next to the popcorn.
Okay, Buzz, what is next?
Coming up next, we can add...
Oh, no, I mean, what's next?
Oh, you'd like to hear another story.
Your next story, yes.
I can do that. We have to add a couple of new ones to the list of...
Look at the sundial. We've got a few minutes left of this break.
I see that now. We can add a couple of new ones to the list of troubled child stars. The younger son on Home Improvement, Zachary Ty Bryan, was arrested in California for doing 100 miles an hour after four beers and a vodka tonic. He played Brad on TV and still works as an actor.
Check out the big brain on Brad. Oh, what was his name again?
That was Zachary Ty Bryan, the younger one on Home Improvement.
That was not Jonathan.
No.
What's the other one with three names?
Jonathan Taylor Thomas.
Jonathan Taylor Thomas.
That's a theme from Home Improvement.
This is a big drug song.
Yeah. Right. The guy whose face you never saw?
Mm-hmm.
Pusher.
That's right. I hated that guy on this show.
Now, here's the second child star. Brian Bonzel was the toddler on Michael J. Fox's Family Ties in its final three seasons. He was arrested in his hometown of Boulder, Colorado.
A toddler got pulled over for DWI?
No, no. He was a toddler when he was on TV. But now he's out driving and apparently drinking.
Say, what could a child possibly do? Ladies and gentlemen, Family Ties.
You know, they all ought to be arrested for bad TV shows.
But the themes were fantastic.
I bet we've been together for a million years.
Now, fortunately, there was no accident. Ryan Bonzo was arrested in his hometown of Boulder, Colorado at 2 o'clock in the morning this week when an officer noticed someone vomiting out of the window of Ryan's SUV. When police asked if he'd been drinking, he reportedly said, "Plenty. About a half pint of Jim Beam." Both boys from Home Improvement and Family Ties are both now 22. They grow up so fast.
Oh, they do. All right, now we got a break. See, we had time for one more there. God, everybody's calling about the songs as well. Dennis, Green Bay. Dennis, Don and Mike.
Hey, how you doing, gentlemen?
I'm doing great.
Hey, you forgot an oldie but a goodie
Panama Red by New Riders of the Purple Sage.
Panama Red, you can't argue with that one.
Amen. And Brian in Wichita. Brian.
Yeah.
Hey, Brian.
I got a correct thought. Brad was the oldest son in Home Improvement.
Whatever.
There you go. Good.
That, ladies and gentlemen, that comes directly from the newsroom.
This is for you, Buzz. Because that's as close as Buzz ever gets to dropping the F-bomb.
Absolutely. Whatever.
A little gay, don't you think?
What is next? I hate it when faggots call, Buzz. You're right.
Coming up next.
What's next?
Speaking up for the rights of retarded children.
Oh, dear. And we already played that hit. We can play it again.
Speaking of retarded children.
Joe Arnger.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Gosh, I hate to interrupt. It's all been so incredibly fascinating and entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
The Don and Mike Show.
Oh, it's a fade-in.
Ready to pick you up and shake you in a figure eight. Don Geronimo and Michael Mara.
Yeah, nice, good fade-in.
Now, this is music.
That's ELO. Spells L-O. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. Now, the mother of a special ed kid in New Hampshire wants a gym teacher fired. She says that teacher bullied the girl.
Oh, dear.
She says the teacher told other kids they'd get 5 extra points if they could hit the girl with a volleyball as she sat in the bleachers.
Jesus. That's not funny.
No. She says the gym teacher called it ultimate volleyball.
Ultimate retard volleyball.
Mom says she asked for an apology and never got one. The superintendent got an apology. In a letter, the coach told the super, "My purpose was not to humiliate, but to keep her attention on the ball so she would not be injured." The mom says it's happened to other kids.
It doesn't get any more BS than that.
Mom says it's happened to other kids, and without a personal apology, she wants the gym teacher fired.
It's just to keep her attention on the ball.
In Cape May, New Jersey, meanwhile, a man has been arrested.
I am still just absorbing, digesting that.
That's the excuse.
Hit the retarded kid.
With the volleyball while she sits in the bleachers.
With the volleyball.
And then the excuse of the superintendent is
so that the retarded kid doesn't hurt herself.
Doesn't get injured.
So she doesn't get hurt.
But so throw the ball right at her.
To get her attention.
While she's sitting in the stands by herself.
Make sure she's watching.
Oh, my God.
And in Cape May, New Jersey, a man has been arrested for not putting enough sunblock on his son. The 12-year-old boy, who's mentally disabled, got badly sunburned, which authorities say amounts to abuse and neglect. The boy was in the sun for over 7 hours. He came away with blisters.
At least no one threw a volleyball at
him. Yeah.
No, that would have hurt.
It would have stuck.
Oh, God. Buzz is playing the tarred card twice in a row.
Yes, absolutely.
Get the boy to blister and get 5 extra points.
I got to give Buzz the 2 in a row, Jim.
WPGC. 2 in a row. WPGC. 2 in a row.
No, he's not retarded.
The estranged mother, who got the boy after his day at the beach, took the youngster to a hospital. The estranged dad now faces 1.5 years in prison.
Idiot.
From the Monkey News Network.
But it's still, at least, there's no volleyball.
Yeah, no volleyball.
I mean, you can put sunscreen on that.
That was just stupid. Monkeys in the news. The United States now has its first monkey college. There, monkeys learn to help.
George Mason University.
No, at this one, monkeys learn to help people who, for example, who have been left without arms and legs after an accident.
Okay, Buzz.
These college educated.
Where's my monkey? No, no.
Hold on a second. I got it.
I'm not the beautiful lady from Chicago.
These college educated monkeys can scratch you when you itch, hold the phone to your ear, pop in a CD or video for you, comb your hair. They can even feed you if you can't do it yourself.
Wow.
The college monkeys live in dorms in the Brighton neighborhood of Boston. They attend classes and watch TV. They like the Cartoon Network and the Food Network. They also like Animal Planet, although some of what they see there scares them.
Listen, they're scared right now.
Terrified.
Over 200 human accident victims around the country are on a waiting list for a college-educated monkey.
I'm not the beautiful lady from Chicago.
Godspeed, Dennis.
A kinky new sex craze is sweeping the nation among young people. The disturbing part is...
Does it involve volleyball or...
No.
Or sun lotion?
Or blisters, no. None of those things.
Thank God.
This trend involves young people, and the disturbing part is sometimes very young people.
Oh, boy.
Girls as young as 11...
No, I don't... I hate these, Buzz.
...are wearing rubber sex bracelets on their wrists. Each color represents what they are supposedly willing to do.
Oh, my God.
Red.
Get the convent ready. Get the convent ready now.
Red is a lap dance or French kiss. White is a same-sex kiss. Blue means that special favor.
Oh, wow.
Black means intercourse. Green means outdoor sex. Fluorescent green means toys. The bracelets sell for a dollar piece at dollar stores. If a boy comes up to a girl and rips the bracelet off her wrist, or all of them, the bracelets become coupons redeemable for whatever they represent.
Where is this happening?
What the hell is going on?
At schools all over the country. I first read about it out of Florida, now in New York, and I think it's spreading across the country if it hasn't already.
Well, this is an awful development with children, but how do I get some of these for my wife? Seriously.
I think it's a perfectly fine idea for adults.
Because there's some of those that I think she's never worn in her entire life. She's always yelling at me about jewelry for her, like her birthday this weekend.
There you go.
This is the great new life.
Get her a rubber bracelet.
Don't get me anything for my birthday.
There you go.
Really, don't get me anything.
Yeah.
The fact that you just bought me a new car, let's forget about that.
Yeah, give the gift that benefits you.
Yeah, she said that, Buzz, but she didn't mean it because I still have to get her something. So I'm going to get her a rubber sex bracelet.
This summer, make it a sex bracelet.
Sex bracelet.
Sex bracelet.
Sex bracelet.
Sex bracelet.
I'm going to get her a sex bracelet and a volleyball.
There you go.
Then we're going to go to the beach.
Sit over there, Frida.
And that story brings us to this story. In New Zealand, they're talking about lowering the legal age for consensual sex to 12.
All right, now I'm getting mad.
Okay, child molestation would still be a serious crime in New Zealand. What the new law would do is decriminalize consensual encounters for anyone 12 or older, provided their partner is no more than 2 years older than they.
Oh, come on.
Basically, it would keep parents and police from being able to interfere in a carnal affair between two young people. Lawmakers say they're not condoning teen sex, just recognizing it as a reality.
Mike, if you're a responsible parent, this will have, and I know you are, this will have no effect on your
This
girls.
Is New Zealand we're talking about.
Give me the iodine. Give me the iodine. That's what I'm going to say from now on. Just give me the iodine.
This you should not do. You should not say he's an animal.
Right.
You should not say he's jacko.
You know what? I'm going to do it. I'm going to blame him.
Bye.
One New Zealand lawmaker says without the change, quote, we'd be locking up thousands of teenagers, and I don't think anybody would say that's a good response to the problem.
Yeah, thousands. Yeah, get the paddy wagon.
Teen pregnancy experts were the first to freak out at the proposal. New Zealand already has the third highest teen pregnancy rate in the world. Quoting a high school principal there, I'm just blown away by the stupidity of it. Meanwhile, back in this country, a senior highlights DVD at one high school has nudity. It happened in the Show Me State of Missouri at Chesterfield's Parkway High.
Parkway. Oh, Parkway, we love you.
You're not going to believe this.
It was a legitimate grade-earning project for two students, and the money raised went to a charity. Hidden.
A charity for retarded kids that are being thrown volleyball
while they're wearing sunblock.
Isn't that nice? Hidden on the senior highlights disc, however, were shots of a couple of other students in a spring break wet T-shirt contest. And the pictures could only be found on some DVD players. Not all players would find the hidden cuts.
Well, now that's just a good old-fashioned...
Prank.
Yeah, right. Practical joke.
Get a lot of that. Now, the two student producers, though, have been banned from graduation, which school officials describe as, and I'm serious, a privilege, not a right.
The graduation?
Yes, right. So they can't go.
Okay, eat me on that one.
That does kind of stink for those guys.
Yeah, their grade on the project also got changed. To an F.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Now, this is a company benefit.
You know, I do feel for those seniors in high school because it's the home stretch. They do something just a little cocky. You know, they're seniors.
Mm-hmm. Something
they're
clever.
At the top of the world. Yeah. It's just a little, really. Yeah.
That's technology-based. That they put it on so you don't see it on every DVD.
Right.
I don't know what you're talking about. When you let the air out of a balloon, what are you left with but the latex?
The latex. Thank you very much. Wrath. The amazing Wrath.
Finally, in Ontario, A 39-year-old man was arrested after removing his clothes and entering a car wash to shower. He paid for this using the...
This ought to get me real clean.
He paid for the car wash by using the credit earned with a gasoline fill-up by the taxi cab that brought him there. He's been arrested for public drunkenness. Shocker.
Yeah.
I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Thank you.
No.
Yep, that's it.
No, please, God, no.
We got to go. Mike, have some more peanuts.
I'm fine. I'm done eating for the day.
And that's it. We'll see you tomorrow with a new episode. Good day to you, sir.
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 And you and me. Yes. How about some volleyball tonight?
Hey, sunblock.
But don't forget the SPF.
Eat your legumes.
Eat a lot.
Till we meet again. This is Sammy Davis here just saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.
This is the Don and Mike Show.